If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Stuff.biz.
Tedious 426. We're almost back to normal.
Jewish apocalypse.
It's the opposite of a yarmulke.
This is the good stuff. The right stuff.
I'm Sven. I'm still alone in the studio because I'm a little under the weather. I didn't want Mike to catch it. So Mike and Alex are on Skype. But you are
I
home.
I am
road trip
finally
over.
Home.
Mm-hmm.
But I am not in the comfy studio.
No.
Because you got AIDS.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got AIDS. It's some kind of AIDS going on in my... I've got face AIDS. It's like all right here and like right here. A little bit of here. Nothing in the chest yet. No chest AIDS yet. So that's what's going on.
That's the ray of sunshine.
Yeah.
Dude, just smoke some weed, man.
That'll make you haven't been smoking enough... You clearly haven't been smoking enough weed.
Some wet? You think some wet will drive this? I mean, I thought I was supposed to drink wet. I was supposed to smoke wet if I get cancer. It would cure my cancer.
I think it cures everything. Depends on the kind. Is it indica or sativa?
Oh, shit. Yeah, maybe I'll get some wed later. It's legal.
Oh,
now,
man.
Right?
You want to slonk some beep beep.
I don't know.
That'll help you.
You ever think about how, like, the shittiest freedoms on Earth are, like, expanding? And, like, the actually, like, useful ones are contracting? I just had it yesterday. Yesterday I was out a place I hadn't been in a while. And just, like, I got out of the car and it was just, like, the wed smell. Wafting all around, and I'm just like, well, I'm like, why do I smell wed out in public? Like this never used to happen. Now it's
smells
just
like burning ragweed.
Yeah,
never used to happen since when. I granted, maybe it was where I was living, but like, when I was in my country, we were driving around. We just like, there's some wed. Those people clearly slonking in that car.
That's new. People used to hide. Yeah. Now you have to. Now, if you've got a firearm for any, normal legal purpose, thank your lucky stars you still have it, because we're getting red flag laws nationwide.
Everywhere.
Apparently, Lindsey Graham's working on that one.
I actually had to look into that.
The story's on BuzzFeed and NPR, so like I don't necessarily believe it, but.
Well, it could just be one of those things that they're floating, but it's supposedly if the NRA is on board, that's bad.
Yeah, this is
who fights that stuff.
Yeah, because this is your
states that have passed them, right?
Yeah, this is your crazy person database where they just decide that you're too crazy to have guns. I mean, New York
that's
has
so
it
bad,
now.
Like, dude, NRA used to understand what that meant.
Yeah,
that meant anybody.
But listen, you can slonk wet instead. You're never too crazy for wed, so you don't like your Second Amendment rights.
I say beep beep slonkers don't get guns. How about that?
Beep beep slonkers get everything because they don't
do whatever they want.
But they're not going to go get anything. They're just going to be beep beep slonkers.
Right. What's the point? Once you start smoking weed, like you just don't do anything. That's why they want you smoking it.
No, that's
or you
true.
Adopt like really stupid libertarian politics, which don't mean anything, and you sit in your house. The state, man. Imagine thinking that you would ever be oppressed for that shit.
I saw somebody call someone a statist yesterday. I was like, oh boy,
wow.
We're still doing.
Like, guy, can
bro,
you like
what? The flux like, capacitor? Like went forward in time 10 years.
Statist. Can we find that guy and put him in a stasis chamber.
A statist chamber. Like, it was a statist chamber.
Yeah, status chamber. That's like what a courthouse, or like a fucking police station or something. Like jail.
Like, you know what I do? I slonk wed.
Great
and I go,
bar hotel, man.
I slonk wed and I go on Facebook and call people statists.
That's literally the extent of a libertarian's life.
Except for the ones that molest children too. It depends. Sometimes you enhance the experience with that. Sometimes
it's like enhanced. That's like level. It's like
yeah. It's like if you're a libertarian, you're either somebody who molests children. Or you're somebody who like has a friend that does that, so you like twist yourself into logic pretzels trying to like not justify it, but like explain it away and make it like.
Or you're somebody
acceptable.
That was molested.
Yeah, you know, there's that too.
I think it's just a continuum of child rape at this point, right? You're like somewhere in that cycle.
Yeah, so, somewhere along the line, child rape, whether you're a victim, perpetrator, observer, one of those, you know,
theme park like, operators. While,
everyone is slunking weed at the same time. Like yeah. All of the participants are smoking weed.
The molested child is slonking wet. Doesn't know what happened. Like, I can't really consent because I'm in just a haze. I'm just high as fuck right now.
Yeah, I can't consent to the weed or the rape.
Like, I had like a out of body experience just now. I don't know if I was watching myself being touched by Brad Spangler. Allegedly, as a joke, satirically.
Yeah, let's just say like allegedly because I don't know. I don't want to talk about stuff.
Does calling somebody a statist work on them? I mean, I feel like it's being called a feudalist or something.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it only works on people who are like also claiming to be libertarians. It's a way of like purity spiraling with, but like just telling somebody who's like a Democrat statist, like they don't give a fuck.
Or Republican
or anything. Just like if you tell somebody that's not a libertarian, they're statist, you'd be like, okay. Or even if just like a regular libertarian, like a normal cucky one, like they'd be like, all right, yeah, I believe in nation states, okay, city states.
Well, for regular libertarians, but ones that cuck on like we should have police and highways and stuff, or just really none of them cuck on the highways. Actually, that's wrong. Some of them cuck on the police because they can't imagine how private police would work. But like
we got that wish. We don't have highways anymore.
Yeah, especially in Kentucky.
I mean, mission fucking accomplished. Believe me, I can tell you that much, too.
Or was it Nebraska? What state was that where the bridge was floating away? I watched a bridge float away on a river that was riding a little high this weekend. Or what day is this? During the week.
Man, when you jump from Iowa to Illinois, the difference is like, it's like going to, there's two places where there's like really, I mean, maybe there's more than that I've experienced. Super profound immediate difference in the highway. That's going from Michigan to Canada. And going from Iowa to Illinois.
And you can guess, just ice.
You can guess the sides, which side was good and which side was bad in both of those cases, I'm sure. Although going from Nebraska to Iowa, I was memeing on someone from Nebraska that it was like so much better. It's not. It's fine. They're both good. It's like, fine. But it's funny. As soon as you cross over in this one crossover, there's this just idyllic little town in Iowa. It actually looks like it's got some stuff going on. One of the things that's depressing about it as you go west, every town you pass through is half dead. And it's more dead the further west you go until you hit California. That's depressing.
Yeah.
As you come east, you see activity again. And as we were driving east, we hit like Ohio and eastern Ohio, and then things were really started picking up with economically. But man, it gets depressing, dude.
Yeah.
But some of these places in Iowa were pretty, you know, once the town's got, anytime it's like a county seat, it's like, all right, there's activity going on there. But when you get outside of it, it's just like.
It's just the urbanites have successfully crushed the ruralite. I mean, it's happened. This is what all this like decades of globalism, NAFTA, yada, yada actually is, right? This is, well, I'll get to that later. But
it's sad what you see out there. But, and it's also like.
It's like, remember those bumper stickers like no farms, no food? It's like.
That was the 80s shit because they were foreclosing on all these farms, man. Well, now, and that was a corporate land grab is what that was because who bought up those mortgages?
Yeah. Now it's corporate. Now it's like corporate farms and just like no heartland. It's like no town. Like these towns are dead because of shit like that.
Dude, these towns are dead. And
that
it's
gets
like,
into like a whole nother thing, though, with there was like easy money for buying that kind of property, I think back in the 70s. So a bunch of these people thought they were going to make it rich by getting into farming. And then eventually that didn't work out. And then the corporation swooped in and grabbed it all, is what I kind of remember being the situation.
Well,
I wanted to like reflect a moment on the highways because this is actually an example of bureaucrat gang. I guess libertarians were right. One of the reasons the highways, especially where I live, are so bad is they have these stormwater ordinances by the EPA. So to clean the ditch along the side of the road, you have to go through a bureaucrat gang. So like VDOT can't actually clean out ditches and culverts. So now you have standing water and of this erosion on your roads. So it's like actually an exponent of bureaucrat gang at work here. So I guess libertarians were right.
Wow.
Mm.
Brutal.
Well, libertarian, I mean, look, bureaucrat.
I just said that so that some altiste in the comments would like start reading off stormwater ordinances from his state.
Yeah, I mean, libertarians, like a lot of the stuff bureaucrat gang does is dumb and worth complaining about, but it's like,
I had an amazing bureaucrat gang experience yesterday. I had to call the Treasury Department.
It was
an issue with my tax refund. And so you've got this whole, you know, it was the automated system. And of all, like, the options, like, you go down through the directory tree. Every single option except for one resulted in the call being disconnected. Whether it was, if you have this problem, you need to call this number. If you have this problem, you need to call that. Like, and then it would just disconnect. And there was no pressing O to get to it. It was amazing. And then finally, I cracked the code and I got through to the option that actually, like, sent you through to the call center. And so then I'm put on hold. And they don't have any hold music. So for 40 minutes, I listened to a loop of... We're sorry.
Dude.
All agents are busy with other callers right now. Your call will be answered in the order it was received. Please stay on the line. That for 40 fucking minutes until someone finally got on the phone. That was high level bureaucrat gang right there. And then, of course, like, I got nothing out of the call when I got on.
Well, I want to do something here. I put a link in the chat. Wow. So now it comes. You can see it. That's cool.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying
people,
like,
can look at it. I wanted to look at this article because this goes kind of with my trip as we were riding around America and some of these towns. And now this is an article from the New York Times by Neil Irwin.
Oh my God. Hi there, Neil. Oh, Neil. Thank you for your advice on how to fix America, Neil.
It's like the upshot, New York Times. America's biggest economic challenge may be demographic decline. Slower growth in the working age population is a problem in much of the country. Could targeted immigration policy help solve it? You know, as I was riding around in middle America, and I saw these depressed towns on the outskirts of larger cities and larger towns, and the further you get into rural areas, the more depressed they are. You know, I was thinking, you know what this town needs? Beaners. I was like, that's going to bring it back.
Mm-hmm.
That's the magic bullet right there.
That was a misprint. Well, he meant like targeting immigrants is what would... Maybe it was one of those kind of columns. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
The thing is, it's like there's already nothing going on here.
Yeah.
You need to bring back business. Bringing back immigrants, it's like, what is that going to do other than make this shittier than it already is?
Why do they always circle around to that being the solution?
Because
like,
they're
Jews. Try any other social policy.
Because they want us to die.
Else comes to mind.
Have these people here instead. You know?
Okay.
Because beaners don't indulge in like modern technology and like sit there and contemplate like the over socialization effects or these other things that like Borzoi talks about or like Ted Kaczynski, where like technology is bad. And, like, they just want to like buy all this stuff. They think it's great. Remember?
Yeah,
they want their,
yeah, when
they
white
want
people
their
start
PlayStation
going out of-
and B-dubs. That's what they want.
But even objectively, if you were just to step back and look at the situation, bringing immigration is just a Band-Aid because these people have their birth rates crater after they've been here for a while, too.
Yeah, but the problems are deeper than that. But it's right. Like, it is funny, though, when white people, when you start taking, when like industrial, like in some parts of the country, industrial, I'm not saying it's civilization, but industry itself has collapsed. There's really not much going on, and what is going on, it's like only like half the people seem like they're employed anymore, or there's just, mm-hmm. or only half the town is inhabited. Like that was what I saw most of. It's
yeah,
just
you saw a bunch of
up collapsing yep. buildings.
Yeah,
vacant storefronts. Yep.
And the town can barely support like a Dollar General.
And yep, maybe, and that's yeah. what comes in because that's what yeah. what people can afford.
Yep.
And what can be supported by those people.
Right.
So it's like you get one store where people get everything is Dollar General, and so many towns are like that. And it's a model that is both – it's just like grinding and depressing. Now, I'm not saying it's totally poor. There is economic activity, but it's clearly dying.
Right.
You know, that's the point. It's like this is on the downswing. This is a society and a civilization, particularly – you know, I went from South Dakota, Nebraska, back to New York, and in the middle there, man, those plains, Midwestern plain states, and then Midwestern states. It's like, dude, shit is not going well. I mean, when you get to cities, everything seems fine, depending on what city. But like when you get It depends on the city. It really
except
does.
Except for the politics, but we digress.
Well, politics, and then also there are cities like Gary, Indiana, which we just took a wide berth around. Because, like, why? You could just smell it. It's like, wow, I can smell the burning tires from here. But anyway, I want to dig in this article a little bit and see what this guy says and why this is just elitist Jewish bullshit. For many years, American economists have spoken of Japan and Western Europe as places where the slow grind, demographic change, masses of workers reaching retirement age, and smaller generations replacing them, it's been a major drag on the economy. That's not true. But it is increasingly outdated to think that as a problem for other countries, the deepest challenge for the United States economy may really be about demographics. Now, they won't say how that is. And our understanding of the implications is only starting to catch up. New report from the Economic Innovation Group, Washington think tank, funded in large part by tech investors and entrepreneurs, adds rich new details showing parts of the United States are already grappling with Japanese-caliber demographic decline. 41% of American counties with a combined population of 38 million.
I bet that's true of rural counties. I bet they're already lopsided that badly.
What's the demographic problem in Japan? Like, no one's replacing them. They just have a decline in the birth rate. Like, their baby
boomers old. Their birth rates are declining.
Why
badly.
Is it this is the kiss of death to everyone? Like, why do you have to have constant population growth? Like, the baby boom was a baby boom. It's over.
Because you'll end up with a massive senior citizen population that is dependent on the younger workers for all of their...
I mean, then you just have the day of the pillow, and it's fine.
Yeah, that's pretty much what you have to do.
You just have Social Security. Like, they're not dependent. That's the thing.
Right.
Boomers are not dependent, on children. They have Social Security.
Like, if you're not growing, you're dying.
This is actually another fallacy. We got to combat. Like, look, economics is such a spook because what you're told is going to happen and what you observe is always different. Like, economic theories never match reality. They just don't. Particularly, like, I'm sorry to say, particularly these free market ones. Like, this idea that. Oh, this big population. It's like, no, the government is already supporting these people.
Those theories serve a certain master. They just try to sell it to you that you're going to be the one that it serves. Like, no, it serves big capital. It serves corporations.
It's
serves
like you're never going to be the beneficiary of that free market.
No, never.
Shit.
You're going to be like in on it, and
yeah. You know, and
I think you've convinced me. I think I could get on board with this.
Well, the other thing is this: if automation. Automation is coming online in a big way. Why does a small population matter?
Yeah. Yeah, I think we can return to this earlier statement about it's not so much about bringing workers as it is consumers, like people will buy all this cheap crap.
Right.
So I mean, people will go to the mall.
But fuck the mall. Nobody wants to go there anymore. Now, that's partly a function of
diversity.
Partly a function of diversity and partly a function of that model is, I mean, diversity is killing that model, but also they've came up with more efficient models like the Walmart model and then the delivery model, right? Like everything gets delivered to you. Massive regional distribution centers, incredibly efficient delivery mechanism, of course, made possible by Eisenhower's socialist highway policy. The roads are socialist. I mean, I'm not saying that. The libertarians say that. But that makes
You know what? I'm okay
it's
with
so
getting...
funny. It's so funny. Libertarians bitch about roads, but then they talk about how magical Amazon is. Where the fuck? How the fuck are they sending you all their shit? I mean, that's another thing we were talking about. We're kind of going astray, but this is fine.
That's what we do.
We were talking about this over the weekend where we were like, oh, what's the – you're talking about importing consumers, and you're absolutely right. But see, they can't bring this stuff to them because their countries are shitholes. They don't have the infrastructure.
Right.
Here in the U.S., now, we do complain about quality of roads, but we have them. And we do have a massive continent-wide network of delivery of products and services, products mainly. And Amazon has exploited that to create their incredibly efficient distribution network. And, if we want all these Guatemalans buying this shit, well, Guatemala, there's a whole jungle to get through. There's a whole failed state of Mexico to get through. That's crime, drug lords, cartels, not necessarily good first world infrastructure. Guatemala is just a jungle filled with these Indians that just, it's like, just, bring them up here.
Yeah. They want B-dubs and PlayStation, bro.
They'll be on grid. Bring them up here to be on grid, and then they can get all the stuff and buy all the stuff. We just give them money. The government just give them money.
Yeah, the government just give them money.
They get that bag.
Yeah. So I definitely agree with you that I think the consumption creating demand is as much as the creating the cheap labor. Now, don't get me wrong. The Chamber of Commerce loves them some cheap labor, particularly in grug tier jobs. But my thing
Chamber of Commerce, leave Republicans out of this.
Yeah. My thing is like I think that the I've always said this, that if we could control our border, even if the population shrunk a bit, which would probably be somewhat of a natural outcome, depending. Now,
to shrink a bit. Christ's
sake. It's unnaturally shrinking because of Jewish interventions, social interventions like abortion and homosexuality, trans stuff, advertising that is opposed to white fertility. Like one thing I noticed in the airports, I should have mentioned this in one of my things, but the one thing I noticed, particularly in airports, is the advertisements, like billboard advertisements that you see a lot of in airports. There's certain themes you notice, and you pick up on them if you're red-pilled. A lot of people have already seen this now. Parenthood and fertility is always associated with brown people or a white woman and a brown man. I saw less race mixing stuff. Apparently in Europe, the race mixing stuff is terrible. Here, I saw less race mixing stuff and more like children are always brown. And ads with white people are always about being a free spirit and doing your own thing. So there's a lot of ads with like a white woman, like in the woods camping or something like that.
Like,
it's like, be yourself.
Like, yeah.
Like
with a white billowing robe. Like,
white woman and like...
Being a free spirit.
Yeah,
you mean free spirit. Working for a massive corporation and then buying all this camping gear.
Well, it's see about like, well, mainly. I don't know what the kind of products were. A lot of times, I don't know what women's products are. Like, I don't know what that is. But like, they're in the woods or they're in a field or I mean, there's wheat fields shit. But they're like perverting wheat field memes. So they're like, it's all about like freedom. Be yourself. Find yourself.
Can I do a meme real quick?
You don't need anyone else. Like that shit, right?
What's that? Here's the motherfucking tea. That's for my Brodies. That's for my Brodies in the Facebook group. Here, the motherfucking tea. I'm not as cute as her, but we're doing it. Thank you, honey. Okay.
All right.
Ah.
Anyway, the conclusion of this, Neil Irwin. Oh my god. Oh my god, Neil Irwin. Now I'm not. My Jew impression is now Halberstam's Jew impression. Like, oh my god, Neil Irwin.
Neil
oh
Irwin. Didn't he walk on the moon or something?
We should put him there. We should launch this guy there. That'd be good.
Neil, do you want to go to the moon? Yes or no?
That comment. Sounds like Columbo.
Worship the moon. We could send them to it. Isn't that like a conspiracy theory meme? They really worship the moon or something? I don't know.
The moon? I hadn't heard that.
I don't know. It's one of these things.
There's so many canards. I can't hold them all.
Yeah, I can't hold all these weird things. Anyway, so he talks about that, but then he says basically his idea is to target declining areas with strategic immigration. Of course, those areas are going to be what? White, right?
Right.
These are going to be the areas that are already white. And my thing is like, look, these depressed areas in the United States that are mainly white, they don't need your beaners. That's not what they need.
Yeah,
what they
need
is some economic activity. Okay, they
Stewart,
need
Virginia or Fairmont, North Carolina, any of those places, and you just dumped a bunch of beaners there.
What are they going to do?
Well, what will that accomplish? There's no jobs there anyway.
It'll put the white people out of what few jobs there are.
Basically it.
Yeah, no. I mean,
you just have more beaners at Walmart. Like, that's basically it.
Yeah. I mean, dude, Walmart has turned into the center of rural life in so many places.
It really has.
It's kind of depressing, but then it's also like...
This has happened for a long time, yeah.
There's this weird like town square feel to these. I mean, yeah. around
that's been forever.
Here,
20
years
I mean,
the Walmart we go to, you don't get that feel.
No.
Because it's filled with Browns. You go in, you go out, you get your shit, you leave. You don't hang out there.
Yeah.
The people hang out there, dude.
Yeah.
Like out in middle America, people chill at the Walmart. There's people like hanging out, talking. Like, they use the bathroom, they chat, they're like there's a big RV scene. There's a big RV scene in the parking lots. It's just like, I don't know, man. It's
I'm not the RV scene.
Yeah, this happened. Really, my sister went to college like way upstate somewhere. Where like all there is a college, you know, one of those rural upstate New York things, and like yeah, like the Supercenter Walmart was like that was town. Mm-hmm. That's where everybody fucking was, and it's just like that.
Yeah,
they didn't just shop; they hung out, and that's just there was that was the, like the new Main Street, right?
Well, that's the thing because everybody hangs out in the center of town. That's what happens, right? You go there, You get it, you pick up a few things, you run into your friends, you stand around and chat, you sit down. I mean, it used to be that these places were nice, though. I grew up in a town where there was about three or four blocks to the town center, a block from my house, which was lucky. I mean, not everyone was that close, but like, you just would stroll through it. Saturday afternoon come, I'm going downtown. Let's just say to my parents, I'm going downtown.
We'll go downtown.
By the time I got to the end of it, I'd have seen all my friends.
Yeah.
And that was the same thing for adults. Like, I was a teenager, but adults would do the same thing. They just stroll through downtown and they see everybody and hang out and talk. And it was a thing. It was like, what time are you guys going downtown? Oh, we're going to meet at like 4. All right. I'll see you downtown. And that's just what people used to do. Now it's like Walmart. Yeah.
Sometimes, I mean, sometimes you go to downtown, you drive, and you like blast Korn really loud. So when it gets, you open all the windows, the part when it gets, so you can suck my dick and fucking like it. Sometimes you do that in town.
You used to do that at Walmart.
Well, I mean, this like, yeah. And when I went to high school, that was kind of what we did.
Okay.
Just at Walmart? Cue up the edgy lyric. No, not at Walmart, just in Main Street.
Or just for when you're going through the main town.
Yeah, just like cue up the edgiest lyric in the Korn album, blast it with the windows
actually,
open.
And that Main Street that I... That
no
Main
one's
Street,
intimidated. They all just think you're weird.
They just think you're an asshole.
Yeah. You're just like, wow, what's wrong with those people?
Yeah, they're not scared of you.
The edgy lyric, like, they can't even understand it because it's like marble mouth screaming.
They probably actually ignore it.
Like,
really?
Is his stereo broken? What's going on?
They probably actually don't even think about it. Nowadays, they won't think about it at all. They'll be like, oh, whatever, another person doing something. That Main Street that you're talking about is remarkably similar to the Main Street that I was talking about. But if it's the one I'm thinking of. Doesn't matter. But, yeah, it's just like that. That's everybody wants a market square. And, mm-hmm. and really, they call these places market squares now. There's right. this new initiative, Walmart yeah.
Market Square.
Market
Square, yeah.
And it's like, I don't
I
know.
Feel I like feel we talked about this a while ago, right?
We did talk about this, but I'm going back into it.
Have you seen the
my
other
feels
thing?
On this are mixed because I'm like, I don't like this, but also it's good yeah. that people have something.
It's the artificial, like, matrix version of a market yeah. square.
Have you noticed this other thing they're doing to them? Like, our Main Street nearby, this has been, and I've seen this in many, many such cases, many other places, where they're taking, like, an old strip mall town square type thing, like an old strip mall, you know, a bunch of stores, and they're putting these big facades on the roofs, making these big peak roofs, perhaps putting a clock tower on one of them, where they're making it look like some idyllic, like, oldie-time Main Street. When it's not that, it's just one of these flat-roof fucking buildings with, like, 8 stores in it.
That's what they're doing in richer areas.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just noticed that. Yeah. Yeah, we live in a fucking hugely rich area.
Yeah, well, but, like, fucking...
Well, there are some pretty wealthy people in some places close to us, but not here. But I have noticed those like, phony town square strip yeah. malls where yeah. they make them look old-timey. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
We drove by it yesterday, and I noticed it because I hadn't seen it in, like, weeks. And then I was like, oh, shit, yeah, wow. It's really interesting. Everybody should do a drive across the country and just check it out. Like, I drove through 9 states.
This really nauseated this description of like the simulated architecture, like
yeah.
fake,
I, Alex is very into
authenticity.
Like, Alex is very into like the phony reality we live in these days. You've been yeah. reading postmodernism, haven't you? You've been reading. Alex is postmodernism.
I love.
You're now. You're like reading. Postmodernism. Like I've always said, and you remember when we started this site that we were like postmodernists aren't. They're not wrong. Like, they're not totally wrong.
Right.
It's just, like, you gotta understand who they are and where they're coming from, what they're saying. Like, you've been reading Baudrillard, I take it? Like, a lot of that yeah. stuff you're quoting, it's like, this guy's right on. But it's also like, hey, guy, can you turn around and tell your people to stop doing this? Like, hey, what are you doing?
Like, I mean, a lot of the stuff
you're the ones that do it!
I think to a degree what happened is you had all of these purple-haired dumb broads that got a hold of like a couple like dumbed-down talking points from this and just weaponized it and used yeah. it in ways that don't even make sense.
Well, they don't even understand it, dude.
So sort of like the thing that's where they talk about fat shaming and how evil fat shaming is. It's like, why don't you do some sort of structural critique of Monsanto and how they've managed to take a normal body type and artificially change this into a morbidly obese body type. Why don't you do a structural critique of that?
Yeah, why don't you take a critique on the idea of the human? Why don't we fucking deconstruct the idea of the human body? And I don't mean that in like a bad way. I mean, like, let's take a look at the history of normative body types. Now, this should be something that, like, would be catnip for these people, but they don't really want to do it. Why is fat all of a sudden something that you feel that you need to defend? There didn't used to be. Now, fat used to be a sign of privilege. Now it's a sign of being poor. That's an interesting analysis to watch how that progresses. I'm not saying I have all these answers, but I'm saying this would be an interesting analysis to take. How did that happen? This is not something they would want to do. They just want to say, stop, I feel bad about being fat. You're making me feel bad. Fundamentally, I feel bad because this is not good for me to be fat like this. It is not healthy. It is not attractive. I'm actually sad. I'm sick a lot. I feel bad. And I want you to validate my feelings so I don't have to make hard choices in my life. That's what they're saying. That's just pussy shit.
Yeah.
There's another thing. Let's use this shit to deconstruct the necessity of validating these. Why do I have to validate your fucking thing? I don't need to change my views on what's good and bad?
Why are you challenging my preconceived notions? I thought they're not important to you. Like, my preconceived notions, suddenly, like, you need to have them changed to fit, like, to validate you? Like, why?
Are not eternal. Yeah. If value sets are not eternal, if they're structural, if they're cultural, if they're contextual, well, guess what? Here's my value set, baby. You don't have to have anything to fucking do with me. You can take your fat, obese, gross body and go the fuck away.
And delete your Facebook page and your Instagram so I don't have to look at it anymore.
You're trying to create a universal normative that fat is, like, good or acceptable. I don't want that. I'm going to deconstruct the shit out of that.
And my question during all of this is who benefits? Well, Monsanto does. These mega corporations do. You're carrying water for them.
The people selling you fucking Hostess cakes benefit. Because way you're never going to stop buying them.
Fuck, you're right. If I could, I would never stop buying them. Fuck.
I'm fucking starving. Dude, I had this person on this road trip literally take a Little Debbie's fucking oatmeal cream pie out of my hand and be like, no.
I haven't had one of those in so long.
I was like, I haven't had one in so long. Dude, it's so good.
Can I tell you a story from the before time? The pre-Red Pull.
But I looked at the nutritional stats on
that. No, don't ever do that. Oof, don't look at the ingredients.
That's
like,
bad. Look at the ingredients. I don't give a shit about the ingredients.
The ingredients have like each one has like 10 syllables. You don't want to know what the fuck that shit is.
No, I don't
like,
care about that. That's fine. I'm assuming that stuff's not going to kill me because it's been FDA tested or whatever. Like, people are going to re-eat that. I was just looking at the calories and carbohydrates.
Oh.
And one of these things, it's literally like twice your recommended daily carbs in one fucking thing. I was like, all right, you know what?
We used to have This Is Why You're Fat barbecues at my house.
Oh my
God. Like previous groups of friends. And one of the last things we did was I took the Little Debbie zebra cakes, I'd fucking dunk them in batter and then freeze them and then drop them in the deep fryer during the barbecue. Let me tell you something. A deep fried Little Debbie zebra cake melt in your mouth and you just have like cardiac arrest right there, but like then you get a beer and it's okay.
Well, I mean, they do this bit now. They deep fry the Krispy Kreme.
Yeah,
and, you do that, and now of course you can buy Krispy Kreme because the people that started the company were Nazis.
Right. But they gave a bunch of money to Jews now. But I guess
it's probably they got shaken down by a Jew. They gave them like $11 million.
You know what else we used to make? Used to make pulled pork, and then we'd make a sandwich out of you take a Dunkin' Donuts apple spice jelly donut and slice it in half, put the pork in there. That's your pork fucking apple sandwich. Fucking amazing.
Christ. That's like too much for me. But like the deep fried Krispy Kreme, it's like you eat like two and it's like, oh, now I'm obese. Okay, this is what that's like.
That's all it takes. It's like a bite. It's like over.
you're just growing as you.
It's like,
your body's like, I'm never going to need to digest fat again.
Yes. Terrible things. This is Ameriburger stuff.
At first it was like so mad about the little cream pie.
I haven't had one of those in years.
Fucking good.
That was my mom's go-to snack when I was a kid. It was like there would always be one in the brown bag lunch. There'd be an oatmeal cream pie in there.
That is like 400 calories.
But she would buy that one because it wasn't like chocolate.
Yeah,
right. Like that was the thing. Like it's not close enough to candy. It's like, you know, it's oatmeal, so it's all right. Like, compared to the other options, like, it's not a Twinkie.
It used to be a bit, like, I actually used to eat oatmeal cookies for those reasons, too.
Yeah.
Like, I was given oatmeal cookies by rental units because they were like, this isn't candy.
I think I grew up on nothing but Mountain Dew and Little Debbie's, but, of course, we ran around outside for, like, 12 hours, so.
Yeah, well, when you're a kid, it matters less. I mean, but yeah, still. Like,
well, what it does when you're adult, when you're a kid, it forms bad habits for you. That's what it is.
That's the thing, because then you get used to that like dopamine hit of like immediately,
and then
amazingly pleasurable foods that you eat like right. Oh,
and then you're like 20.
That's what happened to all these fat women,
right? Like,
they got addicted to these shit. They got addicted to Hostess cakes.
Yeah, or say like when you turn 20,
and they just want to sit there fucking unwrapping these things, just like stuffing them in their fat faces.
Like, you're 20 years old, you have a full time job, and you have your own apartment, maybe some roommates or something, and suddenly it's like there's nobody here to tell me to only have two Oreos, so the whole sleeve is gone.
Yeah, there's no one here to cook me like zucchini.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's amazing to see like these women transform in 2 years to go from like a normal size to being like 350 pounds. I used to work with a girl, and I followed her. I Facebook stalked her one time and just looked through her photos, and it's the most depressing thing I'd ever seen. Like, this happened within the span of about 2 years. She went from a normal size to completely obese.
Span of about 48 inches, you mean?
It's bad. It's not good. Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I used to be thin in high school, like really thin. But, we'll get back.
Hold on. No, do your thin cope. I love your thin cope.
What's that?
Your thin cope is my favorite thing in the world.
My doctor told me, like, you have the frame of a skinny guy. You're not supposed to be this fat.
No, it's true.
But it's like everybody has a frame of a skinny guy called a skeleton.
Not necessarily. Well, all right. If you want to make fun of me for that. But look.
Now you make me feel bad. You're supposed to roll with it here. Busting your balls.
No, it's fine. It's fine. The thing is, I don't want to talk about this anymore. But you see pictures of me from high school. I was fucking skinny.
No, I know. Beanpole.
I was a stick. So, yeah. But that's fine. No, what it was is like I had one of those metabolisms where I could eat whatever the fuck I wanted until I was like 25. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, I'm like used to eating like McDonald's, Burger King, Little Debbie's.
Oh,
whatever the fuck.
Man, Mountain what are you Dew. Doing to me today?
I'm like slunking Mountain Dews and eating Taco Bell and shit. And like then all of a sudden, I'm 30. I'm like, wait, what the fuck?
Yep.
But yeah.
Man, I would love to eat all those things right now.
I don't know. There's something about like having a long-term girlfriend or getting married that accentuates this process. I want to know how this works.
The process. Because then there's someone to break your balls. You got to break your balls. It's like, whatever. Who cares?
Now I just eat whey. Just shovel it in.
The thing is, if your partner is also, if your girlfriend or boyfriend or spouse is also into like eating bad foods, then you'll just reinforce each other's habits. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But if you get somebody who is like, no way.
Mm-hmm.
I have now handed my diet off to another person.
You have now.
So I don't make choices on it anymore. That's the best thing to do.
Excellent. I do this shit where I'm not eating carbs like all day, and one of my ways to not eat carbs is when I'm craving something like crunchy, just have some pork rinds. But then, like, if that does not work,
that only works like a week because I'm just so sick.
Well,
of pork
no,
rinds.
The problem is if I slip up elsewhere, like later on, if I have like a piece of chocolate, it's like now I'm just a fat guy that eats pork rinds. Because I didn't eat no carbs today. Like, great. Now I'm just an Ameriburger eating fucking
pork
rinds. The pork
rind cope is terrible. Because
I like it.
Pork rinds, I like them, but I'm tired of them. You get very boring. I'll tell you, man, going low carb, it really, you go in the store and all those brightly packaged bags of chips, you're like, oh shit, dude, that would be so fucking good.
Yeah.
It's really addictive. I mean, look, I'm not ashamed to admit that I have... On some level, like, these addictions have grabbed me as well. You just got to be cognizant of it. And you got to have willpower. And the easiest way to have willpower is to have another person.
Yeah.
That's willing to totally break your nuts. Where, like, the social shaming, like, outweighs your desire for those sweet, crunchy chips or whatever it is you want. Because, look, they literally, you should not feel bad about falling prey to some of this. But you should try to have willpower and have people to help you reinforce. Because this shit is made to, like, make you look at it. And then make you hungry. They have studied millions and billions of dollars going into studying this.
Well,
they know how
everything about it is delightful.
Want that shit?
The crispy crunch, like the over fucking salted nature of it.
Saltiness of it. Oh, so good.
It's just all right there. And there's nothing that like meets those requirements other than like a shitty fucking snack that comes in a bag.
And those brightly packaged bags, like they catch your eye when you walk into the carb store, dude. You cannot. Eating,
carb store,
that's what a rest stop is—a carb store.
Carb store.
By the way, I realized this on the road trip. Like, the only thing you can get He's like sunflower seeds or beef jerky, and even beef jerky is not entirely
beef jerky is like $20 a pound, so or $20 an ounce.
Yeah, right.
So you can't you
what
can't do
is
that
with that price inflation, man. Yeah. We should be using that stuff as currency instead of gold.
It's really expensive, and also a lot of it's shitty. There's only a couple of really good brands of it where it's like it's tender instead of like hard. I don't like the,
Jack Links.
Like, Jack Links. Links. All right, let me just say this: Jack Links is terrible. But also, you don't want to eat a lot of that stuff.
No.
There's a lot of MSG in there. There's a lot of sugar, actually. It's like sugar and salt. I mean, that's what basically MSG is, right? It's like salty sugar or something. I don't know. But it's like, it's good, but it also, that's also addictive, by the way. You just fucking, oh.
Yeah, MSG makes you just keep eating. Like, it blocks your ability to, like, be like, stop. I'm full now.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's where you get, like, overly full and you feel like shit. And,
yeah.
Yeah. No, it's, all this stuff that they do is just
evil. It's all goy feed.
It's goyim feed. Goyim feed.
It's really bad.
This is what we should just call this episode, goyim feed.
Goyim feed.
Because, dude, I'm telling you, man, the goyim feed lot is like the fucking truck stop. And I'll tell you, dude, you know, I was buying these boomer shirts, the funny ones. I got a few of them at the truck stops and such. But, like, I was looking at one truck stop we were at. And, look, I know, like, I get crap because I'm a little bit overweight. A little bit. I'm working on it. But, dude, I wear like an XL t-shirt, and that's like a meme. Like I was at this thing where I bought a t-shirt a couple weekends ago, and like people were like, oh, hey, we said a big one. Is there an XL for you, Mike? And I'm like, all right, yeah, thanks, guy. But yeah, that's actually my size. But then like they've got like 6XL in these trucker I was in this truck stop in Ohio, and these shirts were like, it would be like a dress on me. I was like, oh, my God. And I saw the guys coming out of the bathrooms, and I was like, oh, boy.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Literally 6X. And it's like, trucking America's roads. It's like this big, like, diesel truck, like this big, you know, like coming at you on, like, an angle. So it's, like, expand. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
The horizon effect. And then it's like trucking for America. And it's like 6XL. And it's
you
like,
don't like this flag?
I'd rather be coming than stroking. That's always a good one.
Being on the road is like there's nothing you can eat ever. I was unless you want to.
The like actually low carb thing there is fucking sunflower seeds.
Yeah,
Try going to a gas station and find anything remotely healthy. Just try. Yeah.
You can barely find pork rinds anymore.
Or just anything to eat roadside that's not an actual like sit down in a restaurant and have dinner for an hour. Like if you want to just keep going, like your options are McDonald's.
Dude, these fucking Wendy's. Truckers live on Adderall and carbs, man. It's amazing. Like it's like what. These are literally carb feedlots, and like you look, and it's just goyim feed from. And I'm like, I'm hungry, but I don't want to eat any of this shit. It all looks good, but I know it's bad. And so like,
where's
like,
Arby's?
It's like, well, where's the Arby's?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not talking. I'm just talking about the selection.
That's like your best option out there.
Is it? I used to work at an Arby's whenever I was like a teenager.
Well, it's like the closest thing to actual like pieces of meat. It's like the roast beef and the ham and stuff.
Yeah. It depends. I'm not even thinking about like fast food stuff. I'm just like the all the packages of stuff like candy, chips, all kinds of different stuff.
You're better off smoking. So just get a fucking carton of Newports and stop snacking.
And like the cigarette, these places used to be filled with cigarettes.
Yeah.
But you don't really see people smoking very much. That's funny. Yeah. Even in middle America, where you would see it more, you don't see it as much. Like I barely saw people smoking. There's not people hanging out outside the rest stop smoking. In line, people aren't buying cigarettes. Like people have like very much quit smoking, and they're not even really vaping that much anymore. I mean, tobacco habit is like it's going away. And dude, there's one part. I mean, I put it on the thing where like this woman rolls up in this completely trashed car and buys like a carton of Marlboro fucking Marlboro 100s.
That's just we like, gotta have a carton of Reds.
She's like, oh, let me get a carton of 100s, Marlboro Menthol 100s, and I was like, Jesus, lady.
I like when they would really? 100. Like, give me Marlboro King size. Kings. Give me some Kings. I'm like, wait, what?
Dude, King. Those like women. Those women
I didn't know the Kings meant just like regular size cigarettes back in the day, like working in the deli. He's like, oh, you mean regular cigarettes? Okay. You I didn't know these
cigarettes.
Kings.
Yeah.
Give me some Kings.
That's how they make themselves feel better. Oh, yeah, they get the Kings because I'm a king. I'm not like a 40-year-old woman with a raspy voice because I've been smoking for 20 years. So there's a crossover, like the smoking woman and the Jew voice.
Yeah,
but
right.
Dude, I swear to God, these women that have been smoking like 30, 40 years, like,
Oh, God, like I can't do that.
It's like the truck stop waitress, like, what do you have, sweetheart? Yeah, right. You want the blue plate special? Oh God! It's like I can't stop doing a Jew voice with that. But yeah, like these ladies, oh, like yeah, you don't really even run into that anymore.
Who's that? Harvey Fierstein? That what you sound like?
Oh, my brother! I gotta call my mother.
Was that from? Yeah. What movie was that?
Blue voice again.
I don't know.
Independence Day. Just,
oh God, I gotta call my mother.
Funniest fucking line ever.
That guy was like memeing on like all Jew memes at once, like big neurotic homosexual mother obsessed Jew. Wow, guy. This is the state of Israel.
Yeah.
This is Zionism in 2019, and it's beautiful.
Wow. Wow. Well, we have a bit on that, but I don't think we can dive into that just now. We only got 15 minutes left in this hour.
This hour we kind of wasted time about going and pee. But I mean, we could go on.
Right, informative. Informative, entertaining. It's infotainment.
Entertainment. But I mean, let's like read a little bit more from this article. Let's say,
Neil Irwin. Neil, you're such a good writer. Tell me more.
The authors of the EIG report suggest a potential solution, an immigration policy that would stop the vicious cycle. They propose that visas can be made available to skilled immigrants on the condition they go to one of the areas struggling with demographic decline. The idea would be to create growth in the working age population in those places, increasing the tax base and the demand for housing, and giving businesses reason to invest.
So
the real power of this would start to change how investors, businesses, and entrepreneurs view locational decisions. So basically they're saying we fill the area with browns.
So hold up, though.
And then business will come in. Have you seen Newark?
That's not how any of this works, man.
To him, demographic decline, he's talking about age demographics. He's not talking about
I just want to make that clear.
So he's trying to get like 18 to 34s into these areas, and he doesn't care what color they're. That's what he's saying.
Okay, so the thing is, young workers from those areas naturally leave due to the lack of jobs. It's not because
that is the thing. And this is something I noticed in a lot of these towns. It's all boomers. There's a lot of these towns where everyone you see is boomers. And it's not they don't have kids. A lot of them do. Their kids just moved to the city.
Yeah.
Or to a suburb or someplace that has more economic activity.
Like, they do that other Jewish meme. Got to get out of this.
I remember
being in
a
board of
supervisors meeting one time, and they were discussing this. And like one of the points somebody was making is like you invest all this money in your local school system for kids, like for the children. And what do they do whenever they become adults? They immediately leave that area and they go somewhere else to find jobs.
Well, see, I was in this one town I was in was not doing badly. But the reason it wasn't doing badly, it was a small town of a little bit over 1,000 in Nebraska, all boomers. And the reason the town wasn't doing badly was because these were all boomers that had done relatively well and were collecting a pretty good Social Security. What's the maximum you get? I think you get like 3,600 or something. It doesn't matter. All these boomers had like SUVs and nice ranch-style homes. Like they weren't rich, but they were all doing well. But as I said, the town is serviced by Social Security checks. And there's a few Xers and Zoomers and Millennials in the town that work like in the supermarket or in the couple of restaurants and the hair salons and stuff there. But they're just servicing these boomers that are buying goods and services on Social Security, and their homes are nice, and they have a couple of cars. But I'm like, this is literally going to die. Like, it's going to literally die. And when these boomers die, those Millennials and Xers and Zoomers are just going to go to Denver or wherever they're going to go because there's not going to be anything else to do. And oftentimes these are just like the people that are working those jobs are just kind of like the loser kids of the boomers that never left. Right. They're kind of the ones that never got married, never left. And they're kind of just losers. So I feel bad saying that because some of them are really nice, but like, they're the ones that didn't do anything. They're the ones that go home to their parents' house and they sit in the basement, they watch TV. At the end of their job.
Well, they were not provided with a slot in the system.
You must be in the nice part of the country.
You know?
What's that? Well, this is just...
You must be in the nicer part of the country. That's not how it works down here. Like, they're all on opiates.
This is just this one town. And the thing is, all of these boomers, I was at a little family gathering with a bunch of them, and all of them had like four kids or three kids, and they were just all spread across the various cities in the Midwest. Like some of them were in Denver, some of them were in Sioux City, some of them were in Des Moines, you know, whatever they were, but they were not there anymore. Yes, Des Moines.
Des Moines.
They were in Des Moines.
They're over in Illinois.
Or they were in Omaha or whatever, or Lincoln or wherever they were, but they weren't there. And these were, you know, middle class boomers, and they're keeping that middle class lifestyle. But the town was like, you know, it was just, I was like, this thing is like 20 years, this is gone. Or unless these people come back. But then where do they come back to? What business is
unless
there?
Unless they do that. Well, they come back and they do those nonprofit art collectives, right? Like that one Times article we were reading.
Right, but how is that going to be supported?
Well, you got to have the big nonprofit with a bunch of Jew money comes and rolls into town to do it. But like it sounds like from what you're describing with that town, I don't think it's going to work there.
Nah, and then all the businesses on the outside are just cattle ranchers. And those people make big money, but they just live on their ranch.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, depending. I don't even like ranch. Some of them don't. Now, the funny thing is there's a lot of people that actually out there, they just like go into cows. Like they just buy some. Like you can just go into it. And there's people that don't even have
people do that. They just go into a cow.
Well, that one Mexican dude did. You heard that story? You heard that story?
You hear the story about the guy with the horse Texas went into him? Patrol,
picked up a fucking beater just going into a cow. He's like, I'm going to go into the cattle. No, guy. I meant like business-wise, not like what you did. That's illegal. That's still illegal, unfortunately. I mean, fortunately.
Wow.
So, yeah, what do you think about doing? I'm probably going to go into some cattle. I mean, you know, as a business. Buy some heads. I mean, not... Oof, anyway.
Go into these cattle, get some heads. I mean,
oof, wow. Oof,
wow.
No, sorry. Let's not further go down.
How many cows are you going to buy? 69. 69 cows.
This guy was just a Mexican libertarian.
Well, I mean, who's he hurting? What if the cow consents?
In the end, he's only hurting himself, I think. That's how that works, right?
I mean, cow probably doesn't even notice. Probably, what the hell is that?
What is that supposed to be?
Is it something itching my butt? I don't know. I can't tell. I'm a cow. I have no brain. I have four stomachs and a tiny brain. I just eat all day and stand here.
Oh, man. Sounds like me. Perfect.
Don't I have like four stomachs to digest all that straw they eat?
Something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Farting constantly. Wait, the other thing is, okay. All right. I don't really want to further go into this.
We can do the cow farts environmentalism bit. Is that what you're going to do?
No, I was going to do that. I was going to be like, you're standing behind a cow that's like farting constantly.
Right. Oh God! No, that you made it even worse. Ugh.
I'm sorry.
How do you take cow rape and make it worse? This is how.
Well, look,
this is what it is.
This was some beaner that did this. I mean, the cops. Imagine being the cops, like guy. Like, all right, you know.
Is there even a statute on the books to deal with this?
Yes. Yeah.
It's illegal. They do have one. Oh, that's great. That means that like they were familiar with this sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, well, think, like somebody's gonna do a crime. Like somebody's gonna do a crime so depraved that there's not even a law against it because nobody thought of it until that guy.
Sex with animals is illegal. I think all right, like, across. Good. I think it's illegal everywhere. I think it's like, look, there's always like that one guy, or at least it seems like there has been throughout history at least somebody that was that bad. Now, thankfully, this is a beaner, so we don't look totally bad here. But yeah, they. It's like
there's somewhere somebody brought the toaster into the bathtub. That's why it has that tag on it. Right. This is the here's the guy that
I think it's probably more likely like an electric fan. It's like, let me cool off while I'm in the bath here. Oh, whoops.
Now I'm dead. Shit. Now I'm dead.
Yeah.
Just dad screaming. You know what else is going on about since we're talking about Goy Feed? I saw one of these again today. I've seen this meme several times over the years where the Monster energy drink, they take the M and they point out that it's this there. Oh God. See? Now I gotta fucking yell. I gotta yell at you for this. Now, see how disgusted I am now? You're drinking a Monster? Like, they're always talking about how the M is that. The M is the.
Hold on a second. Alex has been the most judgmental about this kind of stuff, and he sits there drinking
Monster. Drinking a Monster. I'm drinking.
I'm sponsored by Monsanto.
I've never had a Monster. I had a Monster one time. I got, like, heart palpitations and an upset stomach. And Red Bulls, I stopped drinking years ago because I get heartburn and an upset stomach. I can't drink this. Give me a fucking cup of coffee, like a normal person addicted to a fucking a stimulant.
Yeah. I'm like coffee because it makes your urine smell different. Stimulant,
like coffee, because I take a drink of coffee in the morning. One, I feel woken up, and then I also got to take a poop, and then I feel great.
Yeah. You get that morning shit. Now, Sven knows what I'm talking about. Urine and coffee smell in the morning. Yeah.
You're fucking...
Very satisfying. Very satisfying.
I feel great.
It's kind of like, wow, it's as if my body is actually processing this liquid. This is
then I drink a Monster, and I'm like, I'm uncomfortable, I'm uneasy, I'm on edge, I've got heart palpitation, my stomach is growling, and I'm spinning at people. Like, I don't like that shit, man.
Well, here's the thing with the Monster. Like, everybody's always posting about the M being that Hebrew character that means the number of the beast, 666.
I think that's true. I buy into that.
But either way, but it's like, who gives a shit? Like, it's Michael Savage's son that owns that company or has some kind of stake in it. And
wait a minute. Wait a minute.
I knew it was You Run. I didn't know it was Savage's son.
Yeah, 666 is just their attempt to pathologize.
Let's try to push through here, yeah, fellas.
Let's stay on target.
I'm trying to say, like, this whole thing, like, meaning about how Jewish it is, like, how do we talk about when did it become necessary to drink a beverage that was, like, filled with as many chemicals and as much, like, fake sugar as this crap was? It's like, when did soda, like, soda's already too much. It's like, you know what we need? We need super fucking crack soda that has we need, like, hyper soda that rots your teeth immediately.
Was considered intense?
Huh?
Like, Jolt Cola was considered, like,
Jolt?
Yes. Yeah, Jolt. Oh, man.
Like, when did this happen?
Like, that's, like, mild compared to Monster.
Yeah. It's like, how about we just not drink Monster and I don't care what the symbol on the can is? It's like, this shit's horrible for you. Like, there's no way that's good. Talk about obesity. Just sitting around fucking imbibing that much sugar while you're playing fucking video games. Is that
sugar that's in there? Because I don't know what it is.
The highest fructose corn syrup you can find. The high test stuff. It's just disgusting.
I know that that's not what gives you the energy. Or maybe it's like the energy is, or the
ginseng in there?
Effect is something else. Like, I know that, like, the Red Bull, there's something called taurine, which is bull tar or whatever, taurus bull taurine. It's like, it's and people balls. Would say, like, there was an urban myth. It could be true. I don't think it is, but the urban myth is like some chemical extracted from, like, bull testicles or something that like gives you energy. Yeah. And I was like, all right, I don't actually buy
this. That's true. Why does it taste like fucking liquefied Smarties? It's like, stop drinking.
You're
not getting energy, like, from the taurine, from the cow balls. You're getting energy from this, like, massive amount of sugar that you just suck down your gullet.
No, that's not true. You don't think so? Sure, there's sugar in it, but there's an active stimulant chemical in it, which is called taurine. Now, they named it that so they could call it Red Bull, right? Whatever the company is that makes Red Bull, I don't know. They might have come up with this chemical. They call it taurine, so they can call it Red Bull, whatever. It doesn't matter. But when you drink coffee, you can fill it with sugar, and it's sweet. But the caffeine is what gives you the stimulant effect. That's what makes you want to poop, too, because it activates your whatever. But, like, in Monster, it's true there's a lot of sugar in it. But there's something else there's, like, other chemicals that give you the energy, the so-called energy boost. That it's, like, some of it's caffeine. There's a lot of caffeine in there. But there's also other shit, which I don't know what it is. Some stimulant chemical. Maybe just put straight Adderall in there.
It's got a lot of B vitamins, too. I don't know. I'm immune to this stuff now.
Well, that's See? Fine. That's not good.
I do so many stimulants that nothing even phases me anymore. I can take an Adderall and go to sleep.
Just make this. Alex has got to, like, upgrade to Fenster.
I know that feel.
It's like Fenster, no sugar. Fenster Zero.
Yeah, look, I've had experience with those kind of things in my life as well. But yeah, like, I forgot what I was gonna say.
So if you take some Adderall, you could have remembered.
No, if I took Adderall, I would just not have shut up since minute one of the show. I would have been just barreling over everybody. Like, I would have been even worse than I normally am in terms.
I don't know about you, but I'm flying on Mucinex. Pretty good.
Ooh, dude, got a good buzz going. Awful. Every time I take a Mucinex, I'm like, I feel bad, but I can't explain how.
It's a different bad. It's a different bad than having a cold.
I can't explain.
It's really weird.
I took it last time I got sick, and I was like, I feel really out of sorts, like just shitty, and I can't explain how.
I have to keep looking at, like, different things.
Oh god.
Otherwise, something happens to my eyes when I'm on Mucinex. It's like I look up there at the light, I look at the stairs, I look at the guitar, look at you. Huh?
You took some today?
Mucinex, yeah, I took the 12-hour at 8:30 this morning. Huh?
I usually, whenever I feel shitty, like I get a cold or something, I take Theraflu, cough and cold.
I don't like
you
it. Gotta,
do
nothing
you
for
get
me.
This, don't get the syrup. Because normal cough syrup that makes you feel weird. Get that tea mix stuff. That just makes you feel better. It only makes you feel better for like 2 hours. But
yeah, if I just drink tea, I get the same feel I get of that Theraflu stuff.
Like, okay, I feel, maybe
that's basically it's just the hot liquid and the silky smooth flavor. The Mucinex like stops the waterworks from running too much, so you can function.
But I you might be right.
And then when I come down off of that, then I take the NyQuil and pass out for 8 hours, 10 hours, something like that.
Cough syrup is awful. Cough syrup, I just do not like
it. Charlie Day,
don't do it anymore.
I wonder if I even need to do like NyQuil. I should just like drink a bunch of bourbon and just go to sleep.
Dude, just take like Benadryl. Take one.
The next day you wake up and you're groggy. You don't want to take.
You're like dead. You can't wake up
from Benadryl. Benadryl's rough.
Just like going to a.
You don't want to wake up with that shit. I fucking hate doing that.
We were at a friend's house who had cats. We gave my son a hit of Benadryl because he was starting to like get sniffly because of the cat. And then we went out.
Hyper?
No,
he just fell right asleep. Right?
Yeah, we went out to lunch, and he's like out at the table, like head down in the pizza. Poor kid.
He's like, some people, especially children,
cheese all over his face.
Effect. Yeah, just cheese everywhere. Cat hair, sneezing, sleeping. Poor guy. Felt bad for
him. Here, have this Monster Energy drink. Eat your pizza.
Here, Mike. You need to level off the Benadryl. Here's a Monster.
Yeah. Let's like stack these things, right?
Like a modern day speedball.
But the ultimate stack, as we were saying, Super Male Vitality and Gorilla Mind. Take both. You'll turn into Hitler if you do that. Super Gorilla Vitality.
Is that what happened to Steven Crowder?
He's never come down from that.
Yeah.
He stacks in a Monster on top of that. Super Vitality, Gorilla Mind, Monster Energy Drink. And he's just massacring. He's out there just...
You know what we need to do? We need to just get into the supplement market. It's totally like unregulated. We'll sell some kind of TRS blue pills or something.
All right.
Like that Alex Jones stuff? Like, I was watching...
Once you start selling supplements, you confirm your status as an utter hack.
But I mean, like our supplements.
What if
would be
you
memes.
Sell it ironically?
You just buy. Yeah,
that's
you just
the only
you,
way, dude.
No, you buy them ironically. You just have them in the medicine cabinet. And you don't take them. They're just like our weird graphics would be on there and our dumb memes, right? So people would have supplements. Like,
I don't know if I want
like Super
I
Sven.
I kind of like this because the media would report on it.
It's possible.
They were talking about how
I was watching bigger. I was watching Bigger, Faster, Stronger. This documentary about these guys from Poughkeepsie that were all doing roids and trying to be like pro wrestlers. And one of the guys, he was exploring. You know, he was investigating like, steroids and you know the bodybuilding. You know, health food industry or health supplement industry and stuff. And he found that basically what you do, you get some white jugs. He actually hired like two day laborers, like to come into his house and take like the white powder of like a common supplement ingredient. Like mix it with rice flour and put it into little gel caps and put the gel caps in the fucking bottle.
Yeah.
And it's totally that's all you have to do. It's legal.
It's totally legal. Yeah.
It's amazing. So we could just do that if we wanted to. I mean, I don't know about getting day laborers and maybe get some Wamans or something to do it.
Probably get day laborers, you just want to be Mexican.
Yeah.
I don't really want to do this.
You don't want to have like super male sventality?
Dude, selling supplements is the it's like giving up.
Not if you do it ironically, man. That's the point.
Like, what if we just copy like somebody else's formula and just put a TRS logo? That's like, hey, you can either buy this at GNC or you could buy ours.
Why don't we just fill it with baking soda and be like, don't actually take it? Like, just it's a joke.
Baking soda has performance enhancing effects, actually.
Baking soda does. Baking soda!
It does.
I've got baking soda!
Dude, there are these freaking outlets where you buy the chemical powder from.
And you can that's
buy
what I'm saying.
A bunch of, like, dude, there's like these nootropic outlets where they sell like chemical precursors and shit to pharmaceuticals, and you can just buy it.
Yeah.
Buy it in powder form as like from a lab. And then you can also buy capsules. You can also buy the little capsule making machine.
But you know how many of our guys like lift and do all this dumb fucking supplement shit? Imagine they were buying the supplements from us instead. We can just copy whatever they're taking. Imagine like TRS branded like ZMA, zinc. Zinc, magnesium, whatever the fuck it is.
I'm just not comfortable, dude.
Selling actual zinc.
I don't know. I just work here.
What about a TRS brand beef jerky? That's where the real money is.
Where are we gonna get
that's like very difficult because you got to source. You got to really source that meat from someplace, and you got to get a. You got to actually build a factory
somebody's,
for that.
Yeah, someone's actually got to do that.
You can't just do that at home. You can't order like the precursor. Like, let me order the precursor to beef jerky. It's like a cow.
Yeah, it's a cow.
We gotta like, what do you got? You gotta slaughter that. You gotta process that meat. You gotta package. This is a whole factory process of making beef jerky.
Like dry it with the salt and stuff, and it's a whole undertaking. You gotta put your Guy Fieri brand barbecue sauce on
and
it.
You gotta worry about Mexicans coming around and like getting into your cattle.
Just
imagine this: 100 years from now, whenever the TRS beef jerky empire finally gets in trouble with the Jews, and they have to pay out a bunch of money because of the
somebody with a beef empire that got in trouble with the Jews.
Oh,
Butch Stanko.
Oh,
Butch Stanko. Actually, I was reading through his book. Yeah, no, where is it? Let me see if I find it. Right, it's on the ground. It's on the floor over here.
Got a lot of Jew boy out that way.
I, yeah.
The Jew boys don't like that. Jew boys don't like me because I'm good to make money. They are.
The score. Of course.
This is actually, I was actually reading through this book. It's actually good. It's actually interesting. Like, it's a basically, the first half is a story of this guy's, basically, he was one of the biggest cattle ranchers in the country in, like, the 70s. His family was. Coming from, a multi-generational cattle ranching family, they started expanding big time. And then they were targeted by USDA. And he, really? His whole claim, I haven't read the book, but he, it's like a whole book. His claim is like, it was the Jews. And like the last quarter of the book, he's like, he does it. He's like, the last quarter of the book, it's like, Zionism. Part, as he put at the beginning, like part two of the book, right? Chapter one and part two, Zionism. Zionism chapter is actually 10 pages. Okay. The Sanhedrin.
Ooh.
Diaspora.
Wow.
Then he goes into, the case against the Holocaust. Then he goes into the Federal Reserve. Yeah. He goes into like Federal Reserve money and shit like that. So, but it's like, it's just, it's like ever, all like white nationalist memes from like back then in this book. It's a good book. It's fun.
I want to read it. Sounds good.
I like that. Also, look.
Oh, isn't that nice?
He signed it for me.
Nice.
Yeah, so I don't know. Look up Butch Stangos. Maybe you could get this somehow.
It just gave me an idea though. We could sell our supplement that we sell could actually just be beef jerky. So now you can take it with you on the road. You could have little beef jerky pills.
Protein and shrimp beef jerky pills. Jesus.
Yeah, so like you have like we'll just put little ground up beef jerky in the caplets. So when you're on a road trip and all there is carbs, like you can just take your beef jerky supplements.
Yeah. I have a feeling that Butch Stangos might be kind of blue pill in economics. I think he's into basic conservative like boomer economics, but that doesn't matter. He's probably absolutely. I have not read everything.
Well, if he's buying and selling cattle, it serves him.
True, but also like I would bet that his story about how they targeted him and took him down is probably true.
Yeah, it's probably all through like regulation and stuff that's like on the books as law. Yeah.
Yeah, we also see how like they go after. This is actually a good red pill to understand. Like they are part of the reason they're so dominant in big business is not because goys can't do big business, but because when they do. They use their political, legal, and media influence to go after that, like tobacco. Now, not that tobacco is good for you, but there's plenty of things that Jews sell that are equally as bad. Tobacco was targeted because it's not a business that Jews are in. That was a goy business. Cattle, too. That was a very goyish business. They took it over, and this is how – he's like one of the main – he's like I said, he was doing 40% – of the market in like a lot of states, in like 38 states, he was doing 40% of the market. So he says in the book, something like that, like huge business. He was selling to the military. He was selling like huge amounts of beef to the military, to the schools. He was just selling like beef, like huge, his family. And they went after him. They're like, yeah, we want this business now. And so they went after him. They went after his family. They went after his business, and now he just ranch. He's got just a few ranch properties out west. He's definitely smaller than he was, and the book is the story of what happened there. And so it's like this is what they do to businesses they don't control, and that's how they ultimately take control. So you're wondering like, oh, the media is so hard on big business. Like, is it? It's less hard on big business than it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Why was it so hard on big business before? Well. What kind of big business was it hard on? Now, big business is talked about like they're saints, particularly tech, which is totally Jew-run.
Yep.
Right? Like Google, like all those big tech companies, totally Jew-run. And the biggest ones, you know, and if you have something like Jack Dorsey is a figurehead, you know he's not making decisions anymore. He's a figurehead. He's an object for you to be pissed at while the Jews behind the scenes are just like, as always, behind the scenes.
All right. Well, with that, let's take our break, our mid-show break here, and we'll come back with suicidal solidarity. And I guess we're going to check in with we got some Charlie Kirk material.
Yes, roll out. I'm taking this break staring at this Gillette Venus ad that's got like this 350-pound chick standing at the beach.
All right.
With flabby arms flopping in the wind. It's very woke.
Now I'm starving.
Send it to me. I want to look at that.
Yeah.
Curious. No, just because I'm like genuinely like curious about them doing this strategy of showing ugly fat women in ads. It's just
Venus is committed to representing beautiful women of all shapes, sizes, and skin types because all types.
This is for razors.
Yeah.
Does it get into all those nooks and crannies? I mean, she's gonna have to get into.
So I'm looking at this photo, and it's like, how do you actually shave that?
Well,
she's gonna take like a crew of people.
She had to peel those flabby slabs apart and shave right on
the inside. You got to have like the flexy head that goes around the cellulite ripples.
But how do you reach around all that shit?
Alex just asked, how do I give a reach around? Can anybody tell me how to do a reach around? I need to know.
How do you reach around and like get in nooks and crannies? No, but seriously,
the logistics, man, are driving me insane looking at this picture.
I figure like shaving like the calf area is doable, but the bikini line is going to be a struggle.
I think all of this will be a struggle from looking at this photo.
Yeah.
I'm struggling actually just taking it all in.
Also, you know that's airbrushed. They're not actually representing that body.
Oh, fuck. It's going to be even worse.
Just like with Tess Holliday. Look online. For the unairbrushed Tess Holliday glam pics, it's disgusting. She's a fat sack of fucking ricotta cheese.
Ricotta.
She looks like, oh, my ass looks like ricotta cheese in a Ziploc bag.
Fuck, I want white pizza. I haven't had white pizza in forever.
Yeah.
White pizza! Yeah.
It's like, my ass looks like a pillow stepped on with a pair of cleats.
What is this, like Larry the Cable Guy jokes or something?
This is Kissel. I specifically need a massage on my ass. I got cellulite. Anyway. It's a very good old Jerky Boys.
Oh,
that's where like the ricotta cheese in a plastic bag. Like yeah. that's eternal.
If we're gonna go here, you know the other disgusting thing that happens is they start to get like that brown shading around that crackle region.
Yep. I know what you're talking about.
Skin tags.
They also get this coloration just everywhere. And like the stretch marks, and then like they get like the brown shading, and then it gets like kind of a white crust on it. You ever see that?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. You've seen it. Of course, you're an EMT.
Smelled it.
I've never smelled it. I've only seen it.
They get lymphedema eventually, and it's a disaster.
That? What's lymphedema?
It's, you end up with excessive lymph accumulation down there, and now it's just all... It's like literally ricotta cheese at this point.
Body is like too big for your lymph system to circulate the lymph, so it collects in the lower regions of your body, and it just you're like a sack of like jelly. It's disgusting.
Can we stop impugning ricotta cheese and all this? I mean, it's fucking great cheese.
Actually, if you want to lose weight, it's a good food to eat.
Yeah.
Just have some celery and ricotta cheese. Fucking
just find some fatty and take out your butter knife and just start scraping away.
No, it's actually a good option because it tastes good. Cheese is a great thing to eat if you want to lose weight. Because as long as you're not stacking carbs on top of it, because then you're getting fat. And
looking at this picture is a good way for me to lose weight.
All right, sounds good.
Just vomit up. It's great. Just go bulimic.
Mm. Perfect. All right,
I gotta take a break.
I'll be right back.
I gotta go lose some weight real quick.
Oh God,
in the bed.
Ah, oh, jeez.
You're listening to TDS on the Right Stuff.
Dot biz.
A soccer cup final in the UK is cancelled because of spectators shouting gamer words? British street weed and hash are contaminated with literal shit? And Prince Harry calls for Fortnite to be banned? In cooperation with Graf Rudolph, this is Trent Holmgren with Suicidal Solidarity. Haha, yes, that last intro headline is real. Israel. Did you know that in 2018, at least 200 divorces in the UK occurred at least partly because of addiction to Fortnite and other games? These guys must be true Aryan gamers, shunning women for sex and the thrill of the video. But let's be honest, video games are only good for insulting minorities and other protected groups over the voice chat. Anything else is kind of gay. You know, so we're told. By now, we're sure that most of you have heard about the country of Brunei instituting Sharia law, the brown kind, not the white kind, which includes punishing homosex with death by stoning. While the Western clown world rees in contempt, Hollywood guerrillionaires such as Ellen DeGeneres and George Clooney have doubled down and are calling for boycotts of businesses owned by the Sultan of Brunei, mostly luxury hotels that normal people can't fucking afford anyway. Good old Hollyweird, using their incredible influence to fight for a handful of fags across the globe while white South African farmers are being slaughtered. Let's turn back to the UK, where the independent group TIG of breakaway anti-Brexit MPs from the Labour Party and the Tory left have officially registered as a new political party under the moniker Change UK. The abbreviation for this new party is the Cuck Party, C-U-K. These memes write themselves in Great Britain, as usual. The website change.org has complained that the Cuck Party is stealing their brand again. We can't argue with that, but frankly, there's plenty of cucking to go around. Let's be generous and share the cuckoldry. Swimming across the channel, we hear the docile tones of the new voice of the French government, Sebeth Njave. The newest member of the French government has been a citizen of France for less than 3 years, but now she will speak for the country. The new government spokeswoman was born in Dakar, Senegal, and only obtained her French citizenship while helping to run President Emmanuel Macron's election campaign in 2016. And she looks like your typical frizzy-haired black college girl with problem glasses, so you know this was engineered from the get-go. President Trump should take note of this and look for some border jumper to be the next press secretary. That'll definitely stop people from calling him a racist. Next door in Belgium, Prime Minister Charles Michel has apologized for the kidnapping of thousands of children born to mixed-race couples during the colonial rule of Burundi, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and Rwanda. The Métis children, whatever the fuck that is, born to Belgian settlers and local women, were forcibly taken to Belgium and fostered by the Cathals and other institutions. Obviously, they should have been left in Africa to wallow in their own destitution. I thought progressives in Belgium liked non-white immigration. What exactly is the problem here, though? The Catholic Party? Catholic Part? Have they seen some modern-day Catholic Church? We're sure they're listening to this podcast, so here's a little overview of the current state of affairs down in the Vatican. Pope Francis said Wednesday that he does not like using the expression migrants and prefers instead to speak of migrant people, since this better underscores their humanity. Ha! Humanity, right? This happened right around the same time that the Pope came under fire for claiming that the plurality of religions was God's will. When people rightfully called bullshit, he backtracked and said,
"Well, okay, if it is his will, God at least permits other religions to exist."
Yeah, right. God has a big fucking coexist bumper sticker on the pearly gates. What a retard. We're a bigger fan of another leader in Italy. As you've recently heard on the Europa Report, our good old boy, Deputy Prime Minister Matteo Salvini, who recently called for the chemical castration of three men who allegedly filmed themselves raping a 19-year-old American tourist in Catania. Now, these three subhumans may have actually been Italians, based on their names. But we can only agree with this prescription to despicable behavior like this. This announcement came a few days before a Moroccan immigrant in Italy admitted to murdering Italian man Stefano Leo, claiming that he wanted to kill someone. Young, white, and Italian. The non-white shit heap said to Italian police,
"I looked at him and I was sure he was Italian. I wanted to kill a guy like me, take away all the promises he had, children, remove him from his friends and relatives."
Yeah, a guy like me, he said. Guy was probably 100 times more of a man than this Moroccan could ever be. Sliding across the border into the former fatherland, we find the patriotic AFD party struggling against J-leftist democracy and trying to unite with other European patriots. The AFD's main candidate for the upcoming European elections, Jörg Methuen, says he expects big gains. Big gains for nationalist parties in the EU Parliament, but they'll have to work together against the huge globo-homo efforts of the rest of the Parliament, which might be difficult since they have 28 different countries with different approaches. You know, like a normal international body would. The AFD is also fighting against cucks in the German Parliament. Even though the AFD is the biggest opposition party in the German Parliament, the other members refused to vote for AFD candidate Mariana Harder-Kunell for the seat of Vice President of the Parliament, a seat which is typically awarded to the opposition party. But of course, Since it's a party that doesn't want to see the permanent destruction of the German people, democracy is being thwarted to preserve the anti-German momentum of German politics. But thank God, the German army is finally getting its shit together. Jewish rabbis stand ready to join the ranks of the German army for the first time in 100 years as the Bundeswehr looks to expand pastoral care for Jews in all services. Defense Minister Ursula von der Leyen said her ministry will appoint Jewish chaplains to the Bundeswehr based on recommendations from the Central Council of Jews in Germany. Because, of course, they will. Those 300 Jews in the German army need special care and attention. But actually beefing up German defense capabilities and defending the country? That's a bit too close to anti-Semitism there, Goyim. All right. We've got two cases in this week's What the Fuck Happened, and this time you all have to guess who the main character is. Are we ready? Here's case number one. The title of the article is Brexit Anxiety. I can't sleep because of it. Is this triggered person A woman, B a boomer, or C a non-white person? The answer is B, a boomer, of course. Paul Groom, 61, had a heart attack 2 years ago and says both he and his cardiologist believe Brexit-related anxiety contributed towards it.
I think about Brexit every day, no matter what. We were living in Devon. We planned to sell our UK house and put the equity into our future financial plan. Then came Brexit,
says Mr. Groom, who retired to France with his wife 2 years ago. Shut the fuck up, boomer. And here comes number two. The title is, I'm a Proud European. Is this Proud European A, an actual European, B, a British cuck, or C, some brown person? Don't answer. Did you really even have to think? Of course the answer is C. He's a Pakistani immigrant living in Germany. I guess that's actually about as European as they come these days, guys. That's going to wrap it up for this week. We'll catch you next week.
Trent, thank you.
I think I hate this drop now.
I'm right there with him on that drop. I don't know what to make of it anymore.
It's funny, but it's like...
It's a great drop, but it's like...
He should do the... When we do it. We're like, thank you, Trent. Oh, God. Yes. Hi, Trent. Thank you.
Yes. Hi, Trent. Yeah. Ours was better.
Use us.
Like drunk us. Johnny. And they're like, hi, Trent. Hi.
Oh, man. I just got to lay into Trump for a second. I know I'm calling an audible on what we're going to do.
Before you get anywhere, I'm giving this head cold a year to get out of my body.
This is where I was
otherwise,
going.
Otherwise, that's why I'm going to take a lozenge. If a year
maybe
from now,
next,
it's not
maybe
mostly
maybe next
gone.
Week, I'll take a lozenge, but actually, no, I might just take a lozenge next year. Why, you know, what are you eating that instant noodles for now? You can
I could be eating
year.
A year from now. This is what we're,
eat them a year from
week.
Now.
Next week, I'm going to think about eating a cup of nudes so that my throat will feel better.
Yeah.
Doesn't feel better by then. I don't know.
Okay, if it still hurts in a year, you could eat that cup of noodles.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was going for, and I did a little bit on it last night, but I'm just going to repeat, because, like, there's no way that I can imagine this is not the fucking stupidest thing anybody's ever said in the world. Like, I don't... Is there anybody that's going to come out and defend this, or are you going to pretend like
somebody in Ann Coulter's fucking thread... said that, like, Trump is setting up the biggest immigration trap for 2020. I'm like, yeah, it's a trap, all right. It's not the sense that you think it's a trap. It's, like, the kind of trap where, like, you think it's a hot broad, but it has a dick. It's, like, that kind of trap. Right? It's not the kind of trap where you're not going to trap, like, the Democrats into going along. Like, oh, it's like, oh, in 2020, when they take the House back and expand the Senate majority, and he's been cucking all this time on these H-1Bs and H-2Bs and HB3s and bees and that and fucking honeybees. Like, oh, then he's going to snap the trap shut, and he's going to close the border. And, oh, it's going to be, wow, what a fine ruse. The president's only pretending to be retarded. That's basically what the troll is. Oh, what do you got? The Kushner ink. There you go. Hey, don't you
read
deal.
This. I got to keep my powder dry on this.
I was
going to
say, yes,
hands.
Don't horn into my buddy's show prep there.
I'm not going to. Oh, I put my finger over Jared's face here, his wonderful Jewish face. But, wow. Everybody check this book out. I'll just say this. I'm going to keep my powder dry. I've read I got this yesterday, and I got home. I read the first three chapters. Every paragraph is a red pill on Jews. Literally every paragraph. Get the book. Jazz Hands didn't cover all of it. There's too much to cover all of it. We're going to do a show. We just riff on it sometime next week. We're just going to just go free for all. And it's like so Jewish.
Yeah.
Everything is so beyond Jewish. And like, I want to find, apparently NPR is like a little bit upset about this book. Cause they're like, Vicky,
what are you doing?
We wanted you to write a book attacking Trump. You ended up writing a book attacking Jared and Ivanka. We're willing to go along with that, but you're the Jew stuff. It's Jew. It's Jews like, all the way down.
It's like when you're so anti-Semitic that you don't notice the pattern, right? You just think you're like writing a book about a few bad apples. It's like, yeah. No, really, like you're writing, like, this is a series of canards.
Literally every canard.
Yeah.
I've not seen so many canards in one place in like a very long time.
Yeah. It's good.
Dude, you're not going to get this level of shit out of, like, you can go to, like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of, like, the most anti-Semitic webs. Like, the Daily Stormer. Or, like, I don't know. Like, some
like, crazy... The Daily Stormer presents Kushner, Inc.
Yeah, it should say that.
Written by Asmodor.
Yeah, but, dude, it's so... It literally starts off right away.
And then this fucking cock showed his... Oh, that didn't even sound like Asmodor. It sounded like Alex Jones. I'm sorry. I'll stop.
Either way.
I was going to try to do a bit where he's talking
about...
They're
both from Texas, so...
Yeah, works. That's the problem. That's why it's too similar.
Yeah, it just sounds the same no matter what. But, anyway, enough about that. But this... maybe I'll do it next year. It's like... I'll just say this. I haven't read the whole book. I'm going to finish reading in a few days. But once you get to... The first half is like history of Kushner's.
Yeah.
Second half is about what's going on, like, in the last 2 years. And just from... chapter titles and skimming through the book, I can tell, like, what we're going to see is, like, wow, all this shit is bullshit.
Yeah.
And, like, if you're trusting a plan, you're wrong. There's a plan. But the plan is make Jared Kushner rich.
Oh, when they got into the healthcare reform shit.
Yeah. The plan is make Jared Kushner, make the Kushner family, see... Oh God! I'm not gonna burn my content. I got hot fucking sizzling content on this.
All right. We'll wait till next. We'll do it next week.
Say this: anybody that thinks that Donald Trump is playing 4D chess, is setting up a trap, is doing something, he's not.
He's not.
Yeah, he's not. Now that Bannon is gone, and I don't know, Stephen Miller must be sidelined. It's done.
The whole thing is over. I mean, there's no.
It's done. There's no trap coming in a year. Why not do it now? The thing is, like, we could critique how stupid it is to say I'm going to do something in a year. There's multiple angles you can critique that from. You can critique it from one.
Well, let's,
that's fucking dumb. Why not do it now?
Let's just stop for a second before we even go that far. I mean, it didn't even. That was how the thing ended. It started with, I'm going to consider maybe closing the border next week. It's like, you can close the border now. If there's a mega caravan coming.
Why would you say you're going to close the border?
Next week, it's like, why don't you close it?
I'll tell you,
like,
why.
Give the order.
Tell you why. Because it's still fooling people.
I can't believe that's still fooling people.
It's still fooling people.
It's amazing.
Because as Halberstam said on the midweek show, talking to a guy from work who's a Trump guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Used this to argue against him. Because Halberstam has been going hard on Trump at the people in his work. And a guy he works with is looking at the paper. And he's like, well, look at this. Trump says he's going to close the border next week. And he's like, yeah. All right. Let's talk next week, guy.
Can you imagine that guy's like, well, let's see what happens in a year. Let's see where we're at. It's like, didn't we already give Mexico?
Why wait a year?
Didn't we already give Mexico like as much money as he's trying to get for the wall from the Pentagon right now?
Yeah, dude. Remain in Mexico is done. That's the thing. We gave them $5.8 billion, as much as we wanted for the wall. They were supposed. They maybe kept like a couple hundred people out of country. They're closing their Remain in Mexico detention centers. It's all over. AMLO said he was going to do this.
Amazing.
In his election, I remember when he was running, and we were like actually liking it because we're like, oh, this is great. This is going to set up a big conflict between the two of them. All Trump does is kiss this guy's ass.
Yeah.
And then when he gets tough, it's all just rhetorical. That's the problem. Like, too many boomers and actually like Xers even somewhat, or just people that like Trump, aren't totally clued in on the full news cycle. A lot of times because they've got work. And so they see the base sound bites. And I think that something's happening. This actually, people in Europe, this has happened too. There is people in Italy that love Salvini that also think Trump is fucking great. Because they get these headlines. Trump says he's going to close the border to Mexico. And like fucking Trump, Salvini based, right? There's guys nearly like this. And some Americans have gone over, they're like, actually, Trump is totally Jewish cuck. And like, they're like, whoa.
Yeah, that headline you're seeing, it's like, that's the extent of the action being taken.
Yeah, it's just, it's all a bluster. Trick. And it's like.
It's all one big orange paper tiger.
It's a reality show star giving the people what they want.
The thing that's remarkable is that, like, he could have done some things. And what is actually literally reining him in is his fucking son-in-law. And, like, dude, I want to hit you with
The writing was on the wall with Keep America Great. That is when you knew the cause was Trump being president, not anything he was going to do, not any of his goals, not any of his policies. The goal was, we made America great again by electing President Trump. We keep America great by reelecting President Trump. Yeah. All this other stuff is just bullshit. Yeah. By the way, here's my new law to let blacks out of prison early so that they can vote for the other party. It'd be great.
Yeah, here's my...
Why aren't we getting any credit for setting these blacks free? It's like, well, have you ever...
I mean, Jesus Christ. Does anyone even say that anymore?
Yes, I see that
Charlie
repeatedly.
Kirk does,
yes, they do this bit where, like, wow, all this great stuff's happening for blacks. Do you think they're hearing about who did it? And it's like, no, they're not. That's why you shouldn't bother fucking doing it. Like, you're doing this for yourselves. So you could say, look what we did for blacks. And then the blacks go to, like, into states that are going to allow ex-felons to vote again, and they're going to vote for not you. Somebody else.
So look what we did for blacks is actually, like, I think that's a strategy to get at fucking white cucks. But it's like, still, fuck white cucks.
You don't depend on them. I mean, it's just like...
Just stop it. All of it. Stop all of it. Like, you could be a popular president if you just actually did the shit you said you were going to do.
Yeah, like, what if you...
People would fucking love it.
Imagine you were targeting white cucks with this kind of shitty policy.
That's literally...
But you were also doing the other things that you're supposed to do. Like, imagine if you were doing things with E-Verify or stopping, you know, birthright citizenship EOs.
You're defunding it!
Well, at least the blacks have low unemployment and they're getting out of jail.
Black people, though. But what about black people?
Yeah.
Next year we'll do a thing.
The thing that they usually do, they kind of run around.
We'll do that now. We'll do that. We'll help black people now. We'll do that now.
Wonderful.
Other thing, maybe next year. Talk to me in a year. Nah, dude, that's the dumbest shit you could ever say. It's like, one, it's like
black people been running around here.
Yeah.
Found it.
It's like basically saying, like, all right, you got a year, Mexico. You got a year to get everyone in. First of all, it's not, and even then, like, Mexico doesn't believe that they're doing anything in a year. They know. They know the game. They've known it all along. They know the game.
It's pathetic.
And AMLO knows.
Listen, AMLO's in a year when I start campaigning again, when the campaign's really ramping up, I don't know. Something.
He's going to go full white nationalist for the campaign again. Watch. Just don't fall for it. Just say, fuck you, Trump. Fuck you. It's actually an insult.
You're insulting. Very insulting. It's very insulting.
But AMLO is actually keeping campaign promises. AMLO said, when I'm elected, I will facilitate the movement of migrant caravans up to the United States because everybody has a right to migrate there. He said that. And boy, wow, promise kept.
And what's promise Trump doing? What's our based white nationalist president doing? Oh, he's backing red flag laws to make sure your guns can be seized more easily. Get around that pesky Second Amendment. Oh, if you're deemed to be, you know, dangerous to yourself or others in some way. I wonder what those ways could be. Could those ways be being a member of a certain group that's not liked by the FBI? Maybe, I shouldn't even say that. Well, the FBI, ADL, same thing, right? It's like maybe you're a member of a group that the ADL or the SPLC isn't a fan of. That maybe they send little dossiers over to federal agencies. But maybe if you're a member of that group, maybe you get red flagged. You don't get a gun anymore. Maybe that expands.
Yeah, I mean, the idea of a red flag, I mean, the NRA was wise to this for years. If they're backing this, I don't know if they are, but if they are, that's fucking retarded because, dude, they've understood what this is all along, which is just like every conservative gets put on a red flag list.
Basically, nobody has guns anymore.
You know how we know you're insane? You want to own a gun at all.
Yeah. What do you need a gun for?
That makes you crazy, so therefore you can't have a gun. Because
what do you have a fantasy about violence? You want to have a shootout in your house? You want a home invasion?
What's going on?
So the obvious thing that's going to happen is you're going to a new edition of the DSM,
And it's going to have all kinds of fascinating new ways to say that white people are crazy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
If you have racism is going to be a mental disorder. Anti-trans is going to be a mental disorder. Yep. White fragility is going to be a mental disorder.
Didn't they already do white fragility? Didn't we read a thing about that one day?
But it's not like diagnosable. They're going to make it like diagnosis. It's a thing that they talk about. We've done it. We've talked about it a lot, but they're going to make it a diagnosis. Psychological. Then if you have it, you can have a gun. Watch.
Countries
have used this strategy before to deal with political dissidents. Just make them crazy.
It's amazing how like this was done, and we talked about it, and then people were like, well, we can't have it here. The thing here's the true rustling thing. In the Soviet Union and in other totalitarian states,
gun bans you?
No. If they put you in jail, they tell you they're putting you in jail for politics. They at least give you that courtesy. Here, they put you in jail for some phony, trumped up like conspiracy charges, or some like they call you crazy, or they don't give you the dignity of saying, we don't like your politics, we're putting you in jail. See, the thing is, as Stryker said, when you do that, you create Vaclav Havel and Alexander Solzhenitsyn. So you don't want to do that because you create heroes, right? If you say like, we're putting you in jail, particularly in America, we're putting you in jail for your politics. It's like, no, we're putting you in jail because you're nuts. We're putting you in jail because you're insane. We're putting you in jail because you conspired to beat up a trans person or some bullshit that's, you know, not even real. But no, we're not going to put you in, not going to be honest with you. Now, we're targeting you for those investigations because of your politics. But we're not going to admit to that either. We're going to pretend that you're some dangerous criminal. That
due process,
you know, because an Antifa punched you and you punched them back, you know, that's going to launch years-long investigation and conspiracy charges. So it's totally because of your politics. But we're never going to admit that because then that gives you moral high ground. So we can't do that. Oh, boy, here it comes. Oh, gosh.
It didn't happen. I thought it was coming.
All right. Anyway, so do you want to do this?
We got this Charlie Kirk shit.
I want to hear this because I've heard this is a little bit long, but we can listen to it for a while.
It's not that long. It's only a few minutes.
We got some Charlie Jerk over here. Now, can I maximize this window without it starting to play? Oh, that worked.
I heard this guy like BTFO Kirk pretty well. Kind of wrecks his shit.
Yeah, we started. We didn't finish it because I wanted to do live reacts, but what we saw at first was like, wow.
Well, yes. I mean, it makes Charlie, I was like yelling, but like, let's just listen and I'll try to contain. I might be like, all right, pause.
Oh, you know, do that one. That's how this show works. Why am I so big over here? That's right.
Why is Charlie Kirk dressed like that? Just
the sneakers, like those sneakers, awesome. Those like autism, but I'm active sneakers are just really funny.
The sneakers, that's such a stupid, he looks like a moron. These people look stupid.
The pose he's in, is he wearing like a... like a tangerine.
Is that David Rubin in the middle there?
Yeah, that's David Rubin. I don't know who the Negress is. That's not Candace Owens, is it? That's another one, isn't it?
Does he chime in on any of this Jew shit?
I don't know.
He does, yeah.
Alex, so you've seen
this. Of course he does.
Who are they clashing with here?
Does the guy say this? Because I would straight up say to Dave Rubin, I would straight up say, dude, there's so many BTFOs. Charlie.
Well,
let's just wait till we hear it. Now
so wait a minute. You got the African American, the Jew, and then the fake conservative. And
yeah.
The trifecta is complete.
Yeah, but there's
the
other
holy trinity of the modern here. Republican position.
There's other things here that I would have dug in. Not to say this guy didn't do a great job because he did, but there's like one GTFO line I would have used.
Let's do it.
My question's not about that. So I guess
okay, fine.
But that's not.
We can amend that later on.
Yeah. Charlie, you have come out pretty strong on the side of, you know, Israel and Trump and his recognition of the Golan Heights.
Yes.
This was a week after a company called Genie Energy was granted exclusive mineral rights to the Golan Heights. On their board are Charles Kushner, Dick Cheney, Mary Landrieu, Jacob Rothschild, Larry Summers, and Rupert Murdoch, both left and right names. They both stand to make...
left and right names, he said.
Billions of dollars off that recognition. How much of the U.S.'s policy of bipartisan Zionism is simply political corruption?
Woo! Doggies.
Look at Charlie's. He's looking down. He does not want this.
He's like, how did this question get through? Why is the person with the microphone?
Through the screeners.
How did he? Yeah. Like, Charlie, I have a question about lowering taxes and expanding business.
And you get up there, you start. Yeah, that's how you do it. I want to talk about deregulating.
Look at this body language. Look at this shit.
Can I
the smattering of applause.
Ask you a question. When did Israel take back the Golan Heights? Do you know the history of it?
You did it. He just said, like, what do you mean taking back? You know the history of the Golan Heights. What do you mean take?
It's never theirs. They didn't take it back.
I'm sorry, what?
Take back? They invaded it.
Okay. So, there's you do know that there are synagogues dating back to 2,800 years ago in Golan Heights, which would by definition be a Jewish religious convening place, right?
There's a mosque in Jerusalem. That's irrelevant.
Well,
it was built on top of a temple.
Yeah, it was built on top of the holy side of the temple that King David built. But that's
you actually pause really quick.
I know.
Now, this guy, I don't expect this guy to. He's doing a great job. He's hitting back with everything I would hit back with. And I don't expect, this is not actually common knowledge, because it's kind of like, this is what archaeologists believe, but you can't really find it outside of actually taking an archaeology class in college where they're sure that, like, the door is shut and no one's listening. That is not, that wall, that Wailing Wall is supposedly the western wall of the Jewish temple that was crushed by Titus in 70 AD when the Jews were scattered, etc. That's what they think, and that is part of this Temple Mount complex with the Al-Aqsa Mosque is atop. So there's like this wall, and then atop it is this mosque. That is not the Jewish temple. That is a stables built by Crusader Knights. And that's the wall that they're praying to. There is no actual remnants of anything. Actually, even Jewish archaeologists think this. It's just nobody likes it, so it's not really talked about.
Yeah.
But, non-religious Jewish archaeologists and Western archaeologists all sort of agree, like, the most likely structure was a stables, a place where horses shit, built by the Crusader Knights, not anything to do with any Jewish temple that doesn't actually have any evidence of ever having existed. But let's go forward.
But I do have a question. You do realize that Islam was formed in year 600, more or less, and Judaism is 3,000 years old, and Israel is critical to the Jewish faith? That you agree with that, right?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, okay. So
who cares?
What the fuck does that have to do with me?
I don't care. What does that have to do with Genie?
Also,
what does that have to do with seizing territory from a sovereign nation?
What does that have to do with you sitting next to a faggot 3,000 years ago? You're talking about, you're talking about a religion. He's talking about 2,800 years old temples and shit, right? Like, okay, what would that faggot sitting next to you, how would he fare? You're going with those laws out of that book, the Torah? You're sitting next to a fag. How would he fare in that according to that book? If you obey that book, kill him right now.
Oh, God. Don't actually do that. That's just
saying. You're the one that's saying you believe in it. Kill him.
Oh God,
that's what this is.
It's rhetorical satire.
Just encouraging Charlie Kirk to stay true to his beliefs.
No, but dude, I'm not saying this. I'm saying if you believe in that stuff, prove it.
Golan Heights. You have 2,800 year old synagogues, and that would be reclamation of the land. And but anyway, the history of it says I'll update you on it.
Anywhere there's a synagogue is Jewish land? You're 100% on that.
Well, no. Anywhere there's a synagogue. It's the restoration of Judea and Samaria, which is very, very, very well outlined in the Torah. Let me build it up.
Wait, no.
Build it up for you.
Policy.
Say that again.
Why is the Torah U.S. policy? Like, okay, outline your shit in this religious text. There's shit in religious texts 3,000 years old that don't enter in. So all religious texts of 3,000 years old, like the older the religious text, the more we obey. So we can go back to fucking Sumerian Sanskrit tablets, and that's U.S. policy?
What about the Zoroastrians?
Yeah, that's an old thing. What about Buddhism? That's very old.
Smonk wed and get into Buddhism.
So Torah, Judea and Samaria. Yeah, the Torah. That's the book the Jews study.
Yeah, the Jews.
Hate Samaritans, I thought.
I'm sorry,
what? They really hate Samaritans.
So, yeah,
Judea, I don't think they should get, like, the Druze who live there.
Judea and Samaria. So, if I can build it out for you if you'd like. So, in Golan Heights, northeast Israel, it was right after the Six-Day War when six different Arab countries decided to invade Israel on their most holy day, on the day of Yom Kippur at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Syria, Lebanon, Egypt, Jordan, and a coalition of other Arab countries together decided to hit Israel when they were most vulnerable. And so what did Israel do? They pushed back for geopolitical reasons, passed Capernaum, passed the Sea of Galilee into what is now called the Golan Heights, where it has always been Jewish land. That has been Jewish land for 2,800 years. This idea of British colonial Syria, that's a made-up country. That is Jewish land, and it always has been. And the idea of Israel is that, first and foremost, there are 41 Muslim-majority countries in the world. Why can't the Jews have one? Why can't the Jews have a single country that they can call home? Two, Jerusalem and Israel mentioned over 450 times.
I wonder how he's actually getting emotional. When do you see Charlie
in Jewish history?
Imagine if you got this like, you got this emotional about like white people.
He pause it for a second. He's wrong.
Right.
His contemporary history is wrong. He's talking about the Yom Kippur War. In 1967, it's unambiguous that the Jews started that war. That's when they seized Golan Heights.
Well, now, hold up. In the normie sphere, that was a defensive action. That is the narrative. That's
fine. But
that's the official narrative. Like you have to convince them first that they started that war. I'm just saying, that's what's out there. That's what
I understand. I understand. I don't care. They can believe that the Jews were going to be attacked in 1967.
Yeah.
He's still getting his history wrong.
Right.
He's still saying Yom Kippur, the most holy day. That was 1973 war. Israel seized Golan in 1967. He's not even getting his fucking contemporary history.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Gotcha.
He's talking about they all got together. Now, it's true that the Jews were not expecting the Yom Kippur war. That is true. But I wouldn't want to argue with them about the Six Days War. But the Six Days War was not on Yom Kippur. That was 1973. This guy doesn't even get his fucking history right.
Well, the other thing, too, is just on a more basic level, like Israel supposedly having a right to exist doesn't mean they get to just grab territory in the Middle East willy-nilly.
Well, didn't he just say that Syria is a made-up country?
What is Israel? I mean...
No, but Israel is made up!
Israel is literally made up in 40
years. Up some level?
Huh?
Country on some level is made up. This idea, this is the thing. And Jews pull this shit. Because if you're going back to, if you need to go back to... First of all, this is what happens when you let Jews run narratives, is you start talking like retarded shit like this. Because basically they've defined it in such a way that they're the only real nation on earth. They're the only legitimate nation on earth. What about England as a real nation? Do they have a right to fundamentally exist as England, as English? What about Germans?
No. Well, they don't have a holy book that says that. So
41 Muslim countries in the world. Where can white people live with free of these people?
Right. Nowhere.
Where's the position on that, Charlie?
Israel is more than just a place. It is critical to their religion. It is critical to their practice. And argument.
It's critical to Islam and Christianity, too.
I would just be like, why don't they go there? Why don't they go there?
It is the most impactful tradition that has built Western civilization. If you look at the great thinkers of the Enlightenment, many of them drew inspiration from the Torah. So yes, the reclamation of the Golan Heights, no, it was not for some mineral.
What did Mike... Can we get a rundown on which Enlightenment thinkers took inspiration from the Torah?
Give me an example. One example.
One example of that, please. I don't know of any. I don't know one anything.
Example. I would have a hard time keeping my cool here.
That litany of bullshit.
I just screamed. I'm sorry. The litany of bullshit.
This is what Ilhan Omar means by Israel has hypnotized the world. Israel has hypnotized Charlie Kirk.
Israel is hidden, and look, there is money here, but also it is an amazing thing, like how these people get emotional.
But this sounds like genuine emotion coming from him. That he's like really,
he's never animated about the other shit he talks about. He's deadpan faggot. Like he talks, we cut taxes, deregulate. Now he's animated. Same thing happens to Mike Pence. Dude, these people are fucking brainwashed.
Sick. It's fucking sick.
Deal that you're haphazardly putting it back. It is the reclamation of rightfully earned Jewish land that was stolen from them by the Syrians many, many years ago.
How many of your...
When was that? When did the Syrians steal that land from them? Syria is a made-up country. How could it steal land from Israel? A country that didn't exist at the time.
The applause of these cucks.
So you're a pretty big Zionist, right? Sorry, you're a pretty big...
You're a pretty big Zionist for you.
I'm sorry.
Big Zionist. That'd be great if he actually said for you.
Ah, shit.
That would be the funny thing Charlie Kirk would have ever said.
Oh my god.
Big Zionist, you would consider yourself? I am a proud Zionist and a Christian and a capitalist and a conservative. We can go on endlessly.
Absolutely, of course. But
these cucked identities like, I have. So got a lot of really gay shit that I believe in. We could go on endlessly.
You're American nationalist, right? American guy.
Yeah. I'm a proud American terms. Patriot. Yes.
So, like, if there are in LSU, there are Native American burial mounds that are 5,000 years old. Is this Native American territory? Have we violated? I mean, they probably had books. They probably named their mounds a million times. Should we leave right now? Because I mean, it's their land.
Well, you should be asking yourself that question.
I don't.
No!
Here comes Ruben.
No! You're asking something. I'm not the one making that standard, faggot. You are. Ask the man that's holding that.
That standard.
Huh?
Yeah. So I said he's not said. He's not the one that said that. That's the standard. He's not the one that says the older the better.
I live here. I came here to ask you this.
I think you're asking.
I don't live here. I came here to ask you this.
What? Well, but that question is for yourself. You're posing the question.
No, it's not. It's for Charlie.
I know. I came here to ask you questions. That's what I'm doing.
So you plan on leaving the country?
I plan on leaving. Yes.
Look, was the. You do plan on leaving.
I mean, at some point, yeah.
What country are you moving to?
Probably France.
You think France? Do you?
What is he doing now? He's ruining it.
No, this is funny.
Look, I mean,
it's a bit of a setup, but
all right.
Do you think France is a better country than America?
I'll go on vacation. I'm not like living there. Christ.
Oh, okay. Do you think there's ever been a better country than America to exist?
Like Israel?
Like cosmically? Yeah, maybe, but like how do you objectively evaluate countries?
How about generosity, benevolence, productivity? Entrepreneurial capacity.
I mean, yeah, Luxembourg's got a higher median income. Sweden, Britain, higher median income. That's a pretty good measurement that we're behind in. So, okay. Yeah, there are better countries than us.
So you would say that the European...
Have you ever been to Sweden? I was just in Sweden, and there is an absolutely crippling amount of political correctness where people are absolutely afraid to say anything.
Okay, I mean, kind say... Like
kind of like here.
Does he say that? Please tell me he does.
Absolutely anything.
Yeah, that's an objective measure, right? If we're going by the measure of median income, though, it's better. Because there's no, like,
I mean, I
go endlessly. Better country.
I could go endlessly on why America is the greatest country ever to exist, but here's the funny thing. I bet you won't leave. Because America is the only country in the world that even those who say they hate it refuse to leave.
I don't hate this country.
No, yeah, exactly. That's right.
I've never said I hate this country, ever. When did I say that? When?
Well, so you love America?
Yeah.
And you want to move to France?
Why not? Yeah, it's a cool country.
Like, which question? Him endlessly rambling is not a question.
What? You said I hate America, asshole. I didn't say that.
Okay.
Wait.
All right, well.
Do you believe that?
I think when we start.
Do you believe that?
Do I believe that I don't hate America? I don't hate America.
Okay. Good luck in France. Au revoir, mon ami. Thank you.
Okay.
Who this fucking bitch?
He's going on vacation. He was moving.
He didn't go anything. Like, the standard you set up is the older civilization reclaims land from the newer one. Therefore, you should be telling him to leave and give the land back to India. That's the trap, he said. You didn't let him. He let them fucking.
Look, don't get too hard on the guy. These are very nerve-wracking
situations. I know. It's like so fucking annoying that
guys,
worked.
It's annoying.
This fucking faggot Jew got in the middle
of
things, this Rubenstein, and fucked it all up.
The staircase wit is hot and heavy, and I give this guy all the credit in the world.
No, he did a great job.
He's very brave. It's extremely hard in a room like that with them having the upper hand in control of everything. The crowd mostly on their side, getting flustered. But he did a great job. No,
I know you're right. I'm just I'm frustrated because he had him like right here.
Staircase wit is always hot and heavy, right? I would have loved to have seen him throw it right back in Dave Rubin's face, be like, look, it's not a question for me. It's a question for you.
Yeah.
That would have been the best BTFO. Yeah. Because, like, and exactly what we said. Like, this, you're setting the standard of the older the civilization, the better. That was a very good thing to say.
Yeah.
That was a very good trap for them. But he kind of didn't totally spring it right. That's okay. He got flustered. It's going to happen.
You want to more of a Socratic frame up for that. You want to be like, are you
in a room with 400 people screaming at you? It's very difficult to think.
Yeah. I thought it was a terrific video, especially.
I thought he did really great. So
especially him calling Charlie Kirk an asshole.
This has to happen every time they go somewhere and speak.
Everybody every time. Go to their things. Go to their shit and do this. Come up with something. And you see how Charlie Kirk argues. And don't, if you're going to do it, let me give you some advice. Because I've done this. I've been in rooms where people are screaming, yelling, you can still beat the F. But you got to, don't even think about it. Go into like almost an autism zone where like you think of like something in your mind, like a a flame or something like that. Or I don't know how else to put it. Like, keep focused, or only look at the person you're talking to, and everything else is drowned out. So think I'm BTFO and Charlie Kirk. I'm only focusing on what he says, Ruben says, or something. Keep it focused. Now, that's the only advice I can really give. I don't know if I can give more, but I think anybody that has that kid did great. He did a great job. It was like, you know, he got a little bit flustered, and that's understandable. And don't, if he's like, he's probably kicking himself. Like, yeah. I should have done this. Don't feel bad, guy. If you ever hear this, I don't know if you ever will. If you do, don't feel bad. You did great.
Yeah, he did great.
Wasn't there another question for the same meetup with them? Like another person BTFO'd them like 20 minutes later or something? I heard. I don't know.
Is there?
If you don't have that,
I'd have to check into that.
No, somebody told me there was two guys that did
really?
That. This.
Well, yeah, who's after it?
Sorry, it's all good.
Oh.
Hold up. Oh, my Stop. Voice is horrible.
Hey.
All right.
A nigger!
Quick thing. I don't want it to be the focus of anything, but I grew up without a father, just me and my grandmother.
You don't Sorry. Say!
Me, my grandmother, and my...
Sorry. My grandma's.
Well, what a surprise.
My grandma's house.
You never dead. Amazing. But no, supposedly there's two guys that BTFO him, and it's like 20 minutes apart. I don't know if that guy was first or last or whatever, but yeah. But, I mean, I think that it would be great for more people to go and for Charlie Kirk to get, like, unending questions on Zionism in Israel. And just have
I
to want to
see Ryan Dawson debate him. That
it's really, like, it's just like, phenomenal. Justify your fucking Zionism. Like, what is this for?
Yeah, no,
what
that's
am I getting out of this?
Really would have liked was like, okay, you're going back to a 2,800 year old religious text or something like that. Like, what does that have to do with anything? Also, like, you're thinking like, oh, there's a synagogue there. First of all, I'm not even Charlie Kirk's history is all it's like it's really wrong and bad. Also, like the idea that Syria stole it, like that's
oh,
not
I found
even
one.
True. You found one?
All yeah, right, well, I found. That. All right, I found the other guy here. Hold on, I'm trying to zoom in on it. I'm sorry. Go ahead and go on with your filibuster.
Before we do that, I want to say like. His history, the Syrians stole it when?
Right.
If he's saying, like, the way that the British and the French, the Sykes-Picot Agreement, and the British Mandate post-World War I, all that, if he's saying that wasn't allotted properly, then go ahead and say that. When did the Syrians steal? When did the state of Syria.
Yeah. The idea of reclamation
steal that?
Is like, no.
Reclaiming from what? Now, you could say, I don't like the Sykes-Picot Agreement. A lot of people have criticized it. It's pretty bad, actually. It created a lot of problems. But then the main thing that caused problems is Zionism. Those states probably could have managed without Zionism. Zionism is the worst force in the world. It's the most evil force in the world. But, you know, his he's just not true. One, he got the fucking war wrong. He's talking about Yom Kippur War when Golan Heights was seized during the 67 war. Like, this guy's a fucking moron. He doesn't know his history.
We build it out for you.
He's rattled
out for you.
Build it out. No, you know, build out my fucking.
We build out that third temple for you.
Yeah.
Come on down.
If you disagree, come on. Go ahead.
I just want to say, great talk, guys. This question's for Charlie. When the Covington Catholic story first broke, you and other conservatives condemned the MAGA kids early on, and to your credit, you retracted the condemnation. But why do you think your first instinct was to join the anti-white pylon on these MAGA kids?
I made a mistake. I would disagree that I did it in the way you described it as an anti-white pylon.
But you joined an anti-white pylon. Why was that in your knee jerk? That was the first place it went.
Yeah, like
these kids were disrespectful to an elder with like no teeth who's like hooked on fucking cough syrup and fucking mouthwash. Yeah, a veteran that pretended to be in the army. All this, I mean, your first instinct was to fucking take all of that at face value and condemn these kids for fucking standing there while some creep that probably smelled awful beat a drum 6 inches from their face.
So let me ask: did you know this was the one you wanted because of the shirt that guy's wearing?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I have no idea. I've never seen that before. I have no idea.
No
what
idea
that is.
What that. I have no idea.
No clue. I've never seen that ever.
I was hoping, you know. Never mind. It's fine. Don't look at it.
I had misaligned.
I don't
trust
even know what I was making that up. I thought he was wearing a boomer T-shirt.
Yeah. It says if you don't like this eagle, why don't you go fly the friendly skies someplace else, partner? That's what that shirt says.
Yeah. I would disagree that I did it in the way you described it as an anti-white.
Dude, look at that body language.
When I had misaligned trust in five headlines that I read and a 35-second snapshot that...
That are what headlines from fake news outlets, right? You would say they were fake news? Well, every time except this time, right?
For whatever reason, I was programmed to believe to be true. I did a whole op-ed as a mea culpa, and I think when people make mistakes, publicly they should say they made a mistake. And I said it once, I said it twice, said it three times.
Sure.
Which is a lot more than any of the journalists have done recently when they've said Russia collusion for the last 2 years. So.
He said Russia collusion!
And
man, you are setting a real high bar for yourself.
Yeah.
More honest than a modern journo. Wow.
How can I get out of this? I'll mention the Mueller probe in the media error.
Golf clap for Charlie.
I want to thank you for the withdrawing the condemnation and everything, but I'm looking more for some insight on the general culture of conservatives and the willingness to sort of betray young conservatives at the first sight.
Oh, come on. That's so steep. He gets up every single day, travels 6 days a week, and he fights for conservative beliefs.
God, this bitch is annoying.
What is she talking about?
Why would you ever get on stage with somebody so irritating?
Charlie Kirk on the stake, and we're done.
Because he's got no bans. He's got no fire unless he's talking about Israel. She's like saving him here.
Done with him, and he's betrayed conservatives.
Look at the smile on his face. He's like, oh, God, thank God this bitch is here. This is why we like uppity blacks.
They got this sassy big mouthed lady is here.
Conservatives. I think you got to give them a little bit of runway. We're not perfect human beings. I make mistakes. Charlie makes mistakes, and you have to be willing to forgive people. At least you have the audacity.
Why should we forgive you for throwing these kids under the bus? I didn't throw them under the bus.
I'd be willing to forgive if you could do some insight. This is a rear guard defensive action. You said you just reiterated what you did. You didn't explain why you did it. You need to examine yourself and figure out why you did it. And I know why you did it. It's because you're just fundamentally fake. And you fundamentally believe the same shit. And you actually worry about the media more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're concerned about your fucking image.
If you didn't come out and condemn those guys, you're afraid they would be calling you racist and you wouldn't be able to get away with it.
Yeah, you're afraid of being called racist. You're afraid of your organization being branded that way. You don't want to be associated. You actually think there's elements of racism in this Trump movement, and you don't want to be associated with it because you're worried of losing your fucking Jew money.
Stand up and say for the fourth time that he's sorry. People, that takes a tremendous amount. Just to say you are sorry and I made a mistake takes a lot. When someone says they're sorry, accept it.
He's not asking for an apology.
We can't be like this as conservatives. I'm really against this. I hear this all the time. Well, Candace, you were once liberal. Okay.
Oh,
I made 26 years of mistakes thinking that the whole world was racist. Is it okay? Can I come here? Can I apologize? Can I say that I was wrong? That I misjudged conservatives? That I misjudged Republicans? Learn to accept an apology is what I would
Thank
say
you,
to you.
It's very nice of you.
He's not asking
I'm speaking
for an
more
apology.
To the general
very nice,
culture
very nice,
What'd you say, Alex? I'm sorry. What'd you say?
It's just he's got this token black chick that he's praising now. This whole thing just makes it impossible to take Republicans conservatives seriously. This is all just a fucking fake.
It sounds like he's trying to get back in over the crowd noise and say he's not looking for an apology. He's looking for something else. So I want to see where he takes this.
The general culture behind conservatives. Not so much blaming you, Charlie, but in general, you as well as many other conservatives,
are human
jump
beings
on immediately. Yes, but I feel like the issue was that it wasn't that bad even before we had the context. It was
so
just,
I would say this, that I think we were talking about this downstairs. I think conservatives, to some extent, have a little bit of PTSD. If you've been called a racist and a bigot so many times over and
by
over
you
again.
People. I'm starting to get at something.
Yeah. By you people.
Perhaps. I don't want to say what was going on in your head at that moment, but you might rush to judgment a little bit quicker.
You might see the enemy's bidding.
Yourself from something. Perhaps.
Out of fear.
And by the way, this is also a piece of...
Is he saying that stereotype threat caused this? Conservative stereotype
sounds like,
threat.
Sounds like he's talking about conservative stereotype threat. But I mean, look, the funny thing is, Ruben,
which is a delicious sandwich. I'm fucking starving again now.
I actually hate Reuben sandwiches.
Oh my God, what is wrong with you? Oh, it's because it doesn't have ranch on it.
You got me. You can always put ranch if you want.
You could. It's
not,
still
not a rule against it. But I just don't like the. I don't like the that kind of meat. It's just
that very Jewish beef with the pastrami.
What's on a Reuben? It's like, what is it, pastrami? Or
I like pastrami. You can use pastrami or corned beef. I prefer pastrami.
I don't like either of them.
No. I don't like corned beef. Pastrami tastes like spicy hot dogs, so I'll eat that all day.
Pastrami, Sami is disgusting. Nah, it's all glistening. It's
It is glistening. It's gross. True. It's oily.
Fucking gross. So is corned beef. Both are disgusting.
But, corned beef is grosser, I think.
It's a toss up there. But either way, I don't like Reubens. I don't like the idea that Reubens are good. I've always fought against that meme my whole life. The idea that Reuben is a good sandwich. Fuck you. That's good a sandwich. Shitty sandwich.
Listen,
it's a bad sandwich. It's
you
not
grilled
good.
Up with butter on you know the rye
good?
Bread.
You know sandwiches,
sauerkraut,
ham, Swiss lettuce, and mustard. That's a good sandwich. Fuck you.
It's a good sandwich
like
too.
Nice thinly sliced Virginia ham, and some mustard, Swiss cheese, and lettuce. Yeah, I'm good. I don't need that fucking stupid Reuben shit. That's gay and Jewish. And also gross. Anyway. But Reuben is actually getting at something.
He's getting at something.
He actually understands. I think Candace Owens is fucking retarded. I think Charlie Kirk is only just a little bit smarter. Reuben actually understands the question. And he's actually, he wants to get this kid off. He wants to get him away because he knows, like, every time they simply say, we already apologized enough, he's like, that's not what I'm asking.
Yeah.
I accept you're sorry. Maybe, whatever. For rhetorical purposes, I accept that you're sorry, right? So I can move forward beyond your fucking bullshit filibuster.
Yeah. He's talking about the general culture of, well, I guess we used to call it punching right. Everyone to the right of you.
Reuben is actually answering the fucking question.
Yeah, let's see what he says.
Let's go forward.
How the media operates. You know, when you see, no matter how skeptical you are of the media, when you see 20 headlines in a row all laying something out, New York Times, Washington Post, no matter, you may think they're all fake news, but when you see a whole slew of it, at some point, and this is just...
Now, when you see 20 headlines converging on some young white kids, condemning them for being young white kids,
reaction is, fuck you.
Fuck this, there's something going on here. That's what you're...
I feel like we have that covered, right?
Yeah,
like,
your reaction should not be like,
TDS
going.
Had this covered.
Yeah.
We have the correct reaction. And amazingly, we're right on this. Amazingly, we were totally vindicated immediately.
We're right every time.
Immediately.
Every time they roll out anti-whiteness, fucking you give it a week, and everything that they did unravels and disappears.
But the other thing is, here's the other part of it. The other part of it is, we're not in their matrix. So even if the kids were bancing the Indians, we wouldn't give a fuck.
Right.
That's also part of it. And he even said that. He's like, it wasn't even bad before.
Yeah.
Like if that context wasn't added, what you saw wasn't even bad. Like what you saw with your own eyes wasn't bad. I would have been like, they didn't go far enough. But that's part of why we are immune to this, is because we're already in that mindset. Charlie Kirk is in the mindset. He's not in any mindset. He's in the mindset of, what's the best media focus group play here? What's the best play for looking the best? I don't have an instinctive reaction. I don't have a human reaction. My reaction is, oh shit, there's a media event. How do I handle it? What's my focus group answer? What are my Jewish advisors telling me? What's the best, least controversial way I can handle this, right? And that's to sort of condemn the kids, but call for mercy. That's what they did. They're like, we don't like what they did, but we don't want them to be thrown in wood chippers. That's a little extreme. Like the rules, right? Like that's basically that was his play, I think. So it's sort of like, your problem is you're not going with your gut. You have no gut to go with. Not like gut in the bad sense. I mean, you have no heart. You have no soul. You're an empty vessel. You're nothing. You're nothing. No talent.
Sadly, the way Twitter works and our news works, you commented something, and you may have jumped the gun there a little bit, but I think you've been pretty contrite here. So
I can't wait to learn from you about how not to make mistakes so we can meet afterwards and you can teach me how to do that.
Thank you for your question.
Thanks.
How did you not make mistakes?
It's not about making mistakes. That's a fucking ideological blind spot you have where you agree with the enemy that Whitey's always wrong.
Why can't you self-examine? Why can't you go actually do what fucking... You want to talk about great thinkers of Western civilization? Well, here's one that had nothing to fucking do with the Torah. Socrates and Plato. Self-examine. The unexamined life is not worth living, Charlie. You want me to tell you how to stop making mistakes, Charlie? Kill yourself.
Ooh.
Crap.
No advocating self-harm. That's 12-hour suspension.
It was a joke. 12-hour suspension. From what? From our show? Okay. We're not doing another one until Monday.
Yeah, you suspend it till Monday.
All right, fine. We can suspend. Fuck.
What a fucking asshole this kid is.
Charlie can avoid making mistakes. He can just...
Does he think he's BTFOing with like facts and logic? Like he's like some kind of Ben Shapiro tough guy with that right there? I can't wait to learn from you how to not make mistakes. Like, that wasn't a mistake. That was
how
just...
better Jews are at this than them? Like, Dave Rubin disarmed that question. Charlie just said, like, dude,
Charlie says, I made a mistake. Dave Rubin said, here's 800 excuses why you buckled under pressure from the enemy, because you're still caught in this fucking mental state where you want their approval while you're fighting them.
Dave Rubin actually kind of laid it out.
Because but Dave Rubin disarmed it. He didn't deal with it. He disarmed it.
He laid out what was going on, kind of. But what I'm saying is Dave Rubin can afford to tell a piece of the truth just like David Cole can because he's Jewish. Charlie can't. It's the same way Dave Rubin could come in and say, say Dave Rubin chimed in on some of the Israel questions and say, like, look, maybe Israel goes a little too far sometimes, a little extreme in their policy, and we'll be critical of that, but generally have to support them because blah, 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 right?
Yeah.
My position. He could. Charlie can't do that.
Right.
Charlie has to go full bore. Because any pushback on this stuff by a goy gets Jewish attack. You just like David Irving was told when he came out with his book, his first book, Hitler. I don't know, not his first. When he came out with Hitler's War, the publisher asked him if he was Jewish, and he was like, "No." And like they're like, "Oh, sorry, we can't do this. If you're Jewish, we could, but we can't. If you're not." So, this is the thing. Like Jews can be self-critical. Jews can be. They can talk internally about the, but it's always with the understanding what's the best policy for Jews, right? So they can talk to each other about that. What's the best thing for Jews? You have to just go full bore Jewish sycophant, or else, you know, you can't. And Kirk is a golem. Kirk is literally an empty vessel filled up with Jewish talking points and sent out on stage. He's nothing. We actually know somebody. I actually know somebody that knew him in Libertarian Club in college. And this person told me, yeah, the guy was a total loser and totally empty. So, of course, he was the one that they picked to be this guy. So, yeah. I don't know what else to say, really.
I just like that, you know, Mr. Rubin there. He didn't. He turned around. He blamed Twitter for Charlie's mistake. Oh, this whole atmosphere that's out
everybody's
there.
Everybody's been seeing through for years. He blamed headlines in Twitter. It's like, oh, you mean the things that you... Well, I would have been like, all right, well, Charlie, you just mentioned the Mueller report. You could see 20 headlines on that and know that it's bullshit.
Right. You knew that from the start. Nobody on Charlie Kirk's end of things ever thought there was anything to that.
The thing is, like, someone could accuse us of saying, like, there's nothing he could have said. That's not true. He could have said, there is a general culture... he could have repeated back to us what we think.
Right.
which is what's right. So, like,
there's a general culture of anti-whiteness?
Which is that conservatives, it's not even, they might not personally, I don't think Charlie Kirk himself is personally anti-white, but he's not against anti-whiteness enough to take a stand on the issue. Right? Like, he probably doesn't even like the idea of it, but he's a coward.
Yep.
And he's bought and paid for, and he's a coward. And he's afraid of losing his position, his money, his status, and his spot in the limelight being the fucking Xer or the millennial voice that is bringing back boomer conservatism. He's got a job to do. That's the millennial that brings back boomer conservatives and makes the Republican Party continue to pretend that this shit is relevant and is not a holding strategy till the country is too brown for them to matter anymore. That's what Charlie Kirk's role is. He's getting paid generously. He's getting money, status, fame out of that. He doesn't want to rock that boat. And therefore, he probably doesn't like anti-whiteness, but he's too stupid and he's too naive and he's too bought to stand up to it. So he sees he's actually is affected by the media. The conservative media gave the okay on saying Mueller is fake news. They never gave the okay on saying stick up for white people because they're white. White people are getting attacked because they're white. You can't say that. But he got the okay on Mueller report is fake because that's something that, you know, Rupert Murdoch and his Jew handlers said were okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going on. Kirk's just an empty vessel. See, on some level, Rubin isn't because
that's
he's Jewish.
My conclusion.
Rubin is Jewish, so he can have some opinions. That's the thing that's so terrible about this. And it makes Jews seem smarter, too. That's the other thing. It makes them, you're like, wow, Rubin is the one only guy on stage with any thoughts. Well, then now it's only because he's the only one that's allowed to actually speak because he's Jewish. The rest of them are programmed. Candace Owens might shoot her mouth off on some dumb shit because she's black, but she's still just she's literally just a fucking dumb Shaniqua. And like I've said before,
she's just up there attack dogging. She's not adding to the conversation.
And anybody who thinks Candace Owens is anything but a grifter. It's like, dude, that bitch is literally just was smart. Was like we always said, blacks, if you're smart, just take the money and parrot conservative talking points. She listened. She figured that out. You know?
She's the one who got with the program. That's funny.
The whole population of dumbass people. Is all Jews will give me money and dumb white people that'll lick my boots if I just say I like free markets. Okay. How much?
Oh, God. So what are we calling this one? Goy feed, or you got something better?
I've got a whole list of things in here.
I like goy feed.
You just take your pick.
Are we on the way out? Can I do one bottom of the stack item?
Yeah. We're at an hour and 1 minute, so.
One bottom of the stack item, and we could call it a day. So this is really funny. So you know Tony Blair. Everybody remember good old Tom? Hey,
sure.
Tom.
Sure. Tony Blair.
Not like the same Tom. He was like the Zionist cuckold from the Labor Party that was like George Bush's bitch.
Yeah,
he was the Iraq Wars, like basically engendered the ire of his entire country because everyone there hated even the white people, not just the Arabs. They all hated the Iraq War, and Tony Blair is just like a total neoliberal Zionist cuckold.
Right.
Anyway, his wife is very wealthy. Wife Cherry Blair. Apparently, he married into wealth. So this woman Cherry Blair is very, very wealthy British woman. Cherry. British women have that name. It's like you don't see that much in the U.S., but it's like a British cherry. So Cherry Blair runs a charity that works with African women, and she's a women's rights activist. Now, this is really funny. This is in some radio station, maybe out of Britain. I don't know. This article is funny. It says, women's rights activist Cherry Blair sparked outrage last week after The Guardian reported that she said, most African ladies' first sexual experience is rape at a lecture on 20th. I don't really have much else here other than this. Where is the lie?
Are you not allowed to notice that either now?
So it says, Blair, who is the founder of a charity that supports female entrepreneurs in developing countries, who's married to former UK Prime Minister Tony Blair, was giving a talk about women in leadership to a group of about 100 students and members of the community held at a secondary school in London. Some people say that Blair was highlighting a serious problem. Many women called her out for perpetuating racist stereotypes that African men are violent and African women are weak and unable to give consent. It's not really the issue of them being weak and unable to give consent. If men are stronger than women, if men are going to rape, they're going to rape if no one stops them. If other men don't stop them, African men will rape. Some critics said it was not her place as a powerful white woman to talk about African issues. That's like the ultimate get out of jail free card for blacks. It's like, well, you're white. You just can't talk about black people stuff. Like, oh, I can't just make observations. Now, she said this not because she's just like perpetuating stereotypes, but because she runs a charity in Africa, and so she sees what's going on. So she just she probably thinks it's actually really bad. She probably feels bad about it.
Yeah, she doesn't like it. She's not like dabbing. Terrible.
We should change.
She's not like every ladies.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like at some point though, it's like, well, is rape in Africa a problem or no?
How about it?
Really, she can't talk about it.
Well, it's like I don't really give a shit about it because the way I look at it, that's what they do. I don't care.
How about at what point white people are gonna start telling people to call you racist even when you're being not racist? Like, you can't be any more not racist than what she just said right there. Like, at what point are you just gonna give this up? And she'd be like, you know what? Fuck it. And just join with us. I mean, how many of these fucking episodes has to happen where, like, white person stumbles into something that somebody intersectional and annoying thinks it's racist and evil, and they're kind of just, like, stunned and dumbfounded, and they're like, I mean, obviously she said that because she was trying to help, right?
Yeah, she wants to help on some level.
And I'm just sitting here like, why don't you join the team that doesn't want to help? So, you know what? Fuck it. Join Team Fuck
Africa.
Why don't
you just accept it? Like, this is the thing. We've actually been drawing more recently from more liberal sides of the spectrum because we kind of tapped that. Like, people are still listening to Charlie Kirk in the current year. Like, I don't really know what to tell you. What are you doing?
They're calling Cherry racist today. Charlie Kirk and these people probably think that Cherry is a racist, and they're like, look what this stupid racist liberal said about Africans.
Let's be honest, because they probably know that she's right, but it's a way to gain points.
Yes, they can just put points
on the board. They can put points up on the Jewish scoreboard.
They think they're actually not points.
So they think it actually
they're pretend
really
points.
Work.
Like, you don't get any points because you're a conservative.
You get nothing. But you're like, hey Jews, look, this is your thing, right? Look, I'm doing
the
thing.
You get to feel like you're at the game, and then it wasn't totally fixed from the start.
Charlie Kirk has one job. Charlie Kirk's job is to run out the clock on the Republican Party.
He should get new shoes, though.
Keep them from... Keep, yeah, you
good,
should
those are good running shoes, I guess, but, like, I don't know, sitting awkwardly on that tall stool.
Everything about that guy is a bad look. But his job is one job only. It's why he's being showered with Jewish money and favors, is to continue the GOP as the boomer conservative party until it's completely fucking irrelevant. That's the job.
Which he is might basically not even now. It worked, right? It's irrelevant now, isn't it?
What's that?
Like the Republican Party, like, it's irrelevant now. Like, mission accomplished.
It's irrelevant now.
It's kind of done. This is kind of like this.
I'm giving you...
The last chance has been squandered. It's kind of over.
Here's another issue. Right. Now, the country will need to continue the facade of the two-party system. So the Republican Party, we might have to go through a shift.
Yeah.
The question is, what's it going to shift to? I don't know. But in his current form, this shit that he's talking, that's already irrelevant. You can't win a national election on that shit already. Yeah. Trump proved it because Trump didn't run on that. Trump won by not running on your shit, Charlie. You say you like him now, but that's just because that's what your Jewish consultants pay you to do. You're just, these guys are fucking, he's like a, he's literally an empty vessel. But that stuff, that shit, they want the GOP to pivot back to that because it's a guard against nationalism. It's they want to undermine any nationalist sentiment on the GOP that Trump's candidacy accidentally awakened. And they're doing that with Charlie Kirk. And, you know, that kind, the boomer conservative is going to die. So if the Republican Party is to survive, it has to pivot to something. But we don't know what it's going to be because they seem unsuccessful in their efforts to pivot as the base black party. But who knows?
The base black.
The other thing is, as the thing happened where the Democrats voted down anti-BDS in the House, and Kevin McCarthy, another cuck that grows a giant set of balls where Israel is concerned, and starts talking passionately when he talks deadpan about every other issue, he comes out, I am so disappointed that the bipartisan consensus on Israel is done. What is wrong with these Democrats? The fact that somebody would want to destroy Israel through a boycott is un-American. I'm like, no, dude, I don't want to buy shit from a country. I don't give a fuck. It's un-American to force us to buy shit from a country. Fuck you.
It's un-American to say you can't have this or that contract.
It's un-American to say you can't say fuck you to Israel. Yeah. Fuck you, Israel.
Yep. Fuck you, Israel.
Dude, if I was really... It would have been great if that kid at the beginning... Again, staircase would... Bring in the fucking USS Liberty. It's the same war where the Jews... See, the thing is, that's the trigger. Because they're like, oh, this guy's just an anti-Semite. Now I don't have to argue with him.
Right.
That's another thing. It's like, only anti-Semites know about the USS Liberty.
Right. That's true.
Anti-Semites and Ryan Dawson.
Yeah, because the Jewish media really complex does such a good job of concealing it.
Ryan Which Dawson, that's how you be critical of Israel without being an anti-Semite. You'd be Ryan Dawson, right?
Oh, amazingly, that doesn't seem to work for him.
No?
They seem to call him... Look, I'm not blaming him.
I know.
He understands how this works as well.
I'll bants him a little bit.
He understands how this works as well as we do, but it's like he gets banned on YouTube like more than anybody I've ever seen in my life by being strictly anti-Zionist. Anyway,
Dar, where's Dar?
I don't know.
Fear of the Dar.
Wow, but yeah.
All right. Well,
anyway, maybe I'll hit that guy up, except I have no idea how.
I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go have a lie down. Yeah. Maybe I'll. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna bench press in this state.
I'm gonna enjoy my rest day.
It's gonna be great. My rest day is tomorrow and the next day. So figure, you know, today's just volume. You know, secondary chest day is just volume. You know, I can burn off some of these noodles, some of these banana nut muffins.
You
know,
you should have ate them during your anabolic window. That was your mistake.
Well, I mean, that's after you lift, right?
Right.
I'm about the 24-hour anabolic window. No, I'm right. Having a sick window, so I'm sick
just
now.
Well, that's burning calories, right?
I guess so.
Your body not recovering.
That's true.
Yeah, it needs the noodles to fight off the infection, right?
Go. Yeah, exactly.
The hot, spicy, spicy.
Sure, we'll go with that.
I was coming up with so many copes on like why I could actually eat carbs, and like this person I was talking to kept being like, nah.
You need the carbs. You have to burn the energy reading the anti-Semitic tomes.
But Alex, as a medical professional, agrees that when you're sick, you burn more carbs. you burn more energy, so you can eat carbs, right?
Yeah, sure.
But you could also be burning fat if you didn't eat those carbs.
Well, I'm not. I mean, I had a.
You could also be delaying your.
I had a protein thing too.
The illness.
If you want to.
Well, how am I delaying the recovery? What? Say it again.
Well,
I was going to say, if you're not eating correctly, then that's going to make you stay sick longer, most likely.
I mean,
right?
you mean eating correctly, like shoving food in my mouth? That's eating correctly, right?
You should feed yourself so that you have some fuel to fight off this infection.
I just eat soup. How about this?
Weight loss plan. Get sick.
No, that's like muscle loss plan.
Isn't that the gay weight loss plan?
Yeah, it's like getting AIDS.
That's how homosexuals do it. Yeah. Wow, these homosexual guys are so fit. No, they just got AIDS.
Yeah,
that's why they're thin. The meme of homosexual fitness because they're all thin. Well,
what's the T cell count?
Also got literally a body rotting disease. So yeah, there you go.
That T cell count is thin too.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
All right.
Like that.
One thing that does help you lose weight, talking for 2 hours straight. I'm fucking bushed.
Yeah, I'm tired too. You know what's gonna help you lose weight? When you update the RSS feed so I don't have to. That's gonna
put the post up to the RSS.
I will. I'm gonna do it. I just don't want to do the RSS feed.
No, put the post up.
It's gonna make my head explode. Yeah.
I'll do the RSS. I already said
thank you.
Once the post is up, I'll do it. I'll have all the info I need. I'll just do it.
All right. Try not to erase Jazz and Jesse this time.
I didn't. Did you see my message?
You erased Argumania almost.
I didn't even.
Argumania.
The only reason I didn't is because you didn't actually correctly follow the naming convention.
I know. I did it wrong. Sorry about that.
But it's all good. I fixed it. So it's, well, I didn't even. There's nothing to fix. Could have kept it that way, but it was the numbering. You had put number 18, and I was like, oh, this is number 18. And I was like, wait, no. This is number 19.
Yeah, because technically it was like I was on with Johnny. It was Johnny's week, so I figured it was your show. It was me filling in for Mike on Mike and the Mad Wop.
If you got that naming convention correct, though, I would have been a big problem.
You would have just
had to send me the file, and everything would have been fine. No big deal. But like,
fine. Yeah, I still have the file. I have the whole archive is archived.
Yeah.
Several USB external drives just with everything, all this racism all over it.
It's going to be a valuable document someday.
There's redundant backups.
When somebody actually needs to understand what actually happened in these years, this is the document you want.
You just got
to
hope that whatever aliens discover us, like after the civilization is gone, because it's been modified.
The only thing
modified.
They discover is your hard drive.
And well, like, you got to hope that these aliens have Windows 10, so they can figure out how to access this NTFS volume over USB 3.
Really, this is just a scramble of electronic signals. We can't make heads or tails of this. What do they use this for? Some kind of electronic resistor?
What is this? What is this primitive compression system they're using? Is MP3? What is this? What is a dot WAV? Cucky CD quality, CD quality audio that they're recording in.
Yeah, audio quality is garbage. But
listen, I'll joke about a lot of things.
That's what they would joke about. That's what they would say.
Oh, they would say. Okay. All right.
Because they have like fully spaceships.
They have fully automated audio communist homosexuality. Like how does that meme go? Fully automated homo communism? I forget.
Fully automated gay space communism?
Yeah, something like that.
Look, which is like, I actually don't want that.
Yeah,
I actually want to destroy that.
Luxury gay space communism.
Luxury
yeah, that's,
space.
You know what's never happening? That. Because that's like fully automated. Getting AIDS and dying. Okay, do you want to call that luxury space communism?
Imagine automating that process.
That's a goal. Well, it's practically automated.
We've already automated it. What are you talking about?
Yeah. It's not only automated; it's fucking mandated.
Well, it still requires
it's on autopilot.
It requires praxeology, a little human action in there to really spread the AIDS around. It's not automated yet.
Human action.
There's no AIDS bots going around.
I don't know if I would say human. I don't know if I'd say that kind of action is human, but you know, it's something. Anyway, let's go. I'm really tired now. And I'm starving.
Take it easy. Me too. Some more noodles.
Bye. Always give your best. Never get discouraged. Never be petty. Always remember. Others may hate. Those who hate you don't hate unless you hate them. Then you destroy yourself.